Hey, we're back with our guest DJs Beavis and Butthead. So, dudes, how about some music that kicks ass?
Cool. You said ass.
Kick ass. Yeah.
You wouldn't expect anything less from the Tri-County region's ass-kickingest radio station.
Ass.
Yeah. But before we get to the ass-kicking, Butthead, why don't you tell the folks about our next head-banging contest?
The teeth cooler.
10th caller.
Gets a free tattoo on his butt.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm
Koba. I played so much of that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
If you listen to the show this long, you know this. I don't give a fuck.
Ludacris killed you.
And we're back!
Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 110. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And holy crap, it's been like a month. I apologize. I almost died.
Several times.
So yeah, I've actually really honestly been incredibly sick, which is why we really haven't done the show. There was other minor little excuses. I mean, it was the holidays, so, you know, stuff was a little messed up, and work schedules were killer for me at work. You had most of the time off, so it's clearly my fault. But the biggest problem was not Kobar being flooded out of his house.
On New Year's Day.
Yeah, how great is that? I actually wound up getting incredibly, like, really sick, though, not just, like, didn't sleep enough sick like I usually get, you know, like I'm just like sick and tired. No, this was, I wound up going to the hospital, went to the doctor, got all kinds of different medication. I don't know. It's weird. I think I'm just going to die. So this is probably the last show we'll ever get to do, seeing as how I'm still breathing at this point anyway.
At least it's a special one.
Yeah, that's right. This is a special one, which made it suck, though, because, like, you know, we had to wait for so long before we could finally get to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been sitting on this pile of email and the forum threads and everything. I didn't realize how quite out of hand it got. We spent 5 hours sorting through these emails and through the forums and stuff just for the Games of the Year show, which is now the Games of Last Year show.
Right.
Because today is January 15th, 2006 now. The website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. Oh, that reminded me of an email I read earlier, which actually reminds me that I wanted to mention that all the email that did not pertain specifically to this show got skipped.
Mm-hmm.
Everything got blown right over unless it had something to do with this particular Games of the Year show, because that's what we were doing. And it just took us a hell of a lot longer than I thought to get around to doing it.
Next week's show will be like a month and a half of email.
Of email, yeah. It's going to be fantastic. And, yeah, so that was basically our catching up here before the show. So let's get right into it, because this is cutting into my World of Warcraft time. The game of the year is... Oh. You want me to do the whole thing?
Yeah, it's time for the pause.
Oh, I guess after all that work, we may as well, huh?
Yeah.
Last year we had Rybo with us for the Games of the Year show, and this year, I mean, we didn't even know when we were going to be able to do it or anything like that at all. So the closest thing we have to an in-house guest is Cushion's email. So we're going to read along and pretend that Cushion is here with us, and he's going to comment, if I can remember to read it every time, per category.
There you go.
Right? So he's the honorary guest, and he didn't even know it. This is sweet. He's going to sit there, and he's going to go, what the hell? Okay. And the categories are going to go in the exact same order. We had them on the site to prevent any confusion, because you are all so nice and kind to put them in the exact same order that I put them up there. Half of our time was spent sorting through the email and trying to straighten out everything. Next year we're going to have to revise the system once again.
Have like a form.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think we
said
we were going to do that last year.
Yeah.
And we came closer to it this year.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need like a drum roll or something. No, that'd get pretty weak. Okay, best movie. Now, I remember seeing quite a bit of movies this year. Not a whole lot of games this year. So this was a really popular category for a lot of people, because a lot of movies came out that everybody thought, you know, wow, this is the awesome new blockbuster and blah, blah, blah. So
most people voted on this category.
Yeah, yeah. This was probably the most voted category out of all of them, even more so than, like, the Game of the Year category, which really blew my mind. I don't understand how exactly that came about, but there was some pretty interesting picks in there. The notable ones were, let's see, The Aristocrats, March of the Penguins, Batman Begins, Sin City, King Kong, The Island, that was a fairly recent one, The Wedding Crashers, Final Fantasy Advent, Children, a big thing in the gaming world, you know. Us kind of people tend to, you know, pay attention to something like that when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
The Devil's Rejects, maybe it's another one of our crowd kind of movies or something. Constantine would seem to be a fairly popular movie. Movies like Saw 2 and Dodgeball 3. Star Wars Episode 3, I mean, come on. Is there a bigger geek movie that comes out, you know, when a Star Wars movie comes out? I mean, seriously. Unless there's a new Star Trek movie that I don't know about coming out.
No, I don't even know if they're gonna make another one.
I hope not.
Well, they're done with the TNG cast, and I don't even know if they'll start up a different one.
I'm not a big fan of it, so I don't even know what you just said.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. I don't want to know, I don't think. But most of these movies, even there was even a Harry Potter movie this year.
Mm-hmm.
Even there was a Harry Potter movie. So our the movies that didn't make the top three, that were the next best, right, like the runners-up, The Aristocrats had a couple of votes. I actually haven't seen this, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah, so, I've heard some stuff. Apparently, I need to see it.
Yeah, it's on that same list right there. Apparently, I need to rent this at the very least. March of the Penguins.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I said the same thing. I don't understand why anybody would actually want to watch this, and yet I keep hearing about it, so it must be good.
It was sitting on my computer for, like, months. My girlfriend wanted to watch it, and she never watched it, so it just, like, sat there eating up my hard drive space. So I deleted it.
So, deleted! There was The Wedding Crashers. That came into a solid, like, fourth place, or actually behind The Aristocrats, so about fifth place, which I thought was a really, really funny movie. But the top, let's see, the third place movie was Sin City. Not too much of a surprise, because that was a really, really big release.
It was, and it was pretty good.
It was filmed very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the style.
Right.
And they had that hot Japanese ninja chick. That made it worth it, whatever the hell her name was.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there.
No, that was awesome. You had some pretty badass characters in that.
Yeah, the whole scene that Quentin Tarantino directed with Bruce Willis, that was a good section of the movie.
A fine movie. And if you haven't seen it, highly recommended. We did get quite a few votes on that, but nothing like the top movies. So, right. You know, it basically looks like a few people saw this, but not as many as I would think would. You know, especially given the popularity of this kind of a movie.
Especially the top movie. It pretty much stole the house.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. The second most popular movie for the year. This was rated second place. Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Ooh, denied that first place. What? Oh, what movie could possibly dethrone the king of geek movies? Batman Begins.
A comic book movie.
A comic book movie comes in by a lot, though.
Yeah.
Not just by kind of beats out Star Wars in the votes. It whooped the shit out of every movie here bad. And there's a reason. That movie kicked monkey ass.
Most definitely.
Right, and I'm really happy to see that movie did so well, because I thought just the world of that movie when I saw it. I mean, it was fantastic. And it was definitely my pick for movie of the year.
It was mine, too.
Yours also. Hey, look at that. We had very similar movie picks, actually, because your second place was my third. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have a third.
Right.
My second place actually was The Devil's Rejects. I've never seen a movie that portrayed murder so well for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know, usually it just goes a little too far and you wind up with some kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre crap or,
right,
you know, Child's Play. You know, and it just doesn't leave that psychological imprint on your brain. And, you know, it just leaves like, oh, wow, that was another slasher flick, you know. Like,
right.
And it didn't have any, humor going for it, like Freddy versus Jason. I thought that was a fantastic movie. I think that was last year, though. You know, but The Devil's Rejects really did something to me. I mean, it was just well put together, well written, and I've never seen murder portrayed so just how it probably, you know, it would be, you know?
Right,
so,
someone who, like, goes around in that mindset, how they would actually be.
Yeah, very dirty, very raw. I mean, I thought they did a fantastic job, and that movie blew my nuts off. There we go. But not as much as Batman. Batman just floored me. That, I was so impressed with that movie. And your second pick and my third pick
was The Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers.
Absolutely hilarious. I sat there and I watched it alone, and it actually made me laugh out loud many times. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but when I'm alone, it takes a lot to get it to get me to actually laugh. I'll chuckle inside about something funny, but
right.
But, yeah, I laughed out loud many times over on The Wedding Crashers.
I laughed a little bit too much because I was watching it with the missus, and
right.
I was kind of getting the look like, it's not that funny, you know? I'm doubled over, grabbing my stomach, you know? Oh, my God, it was hilarious. We pulled out some quotes from various emails and posts on the forum.
Stuff that we thought was worthy of mentioning.
Yeah. And the particular quote for best movie in the movie best movie category came from Hades, which was on March of the Penguins. He says, "Go ahead, call me a flaming homosexual, but this movie was cute. Those penguins are hardcore to travel so far and do what they do, and the penguin babies made my wife say, 'Aww,' quite a bit."
So I'm going to go ahead and call him a homosexual.
That's right, you damn flaming homosexual. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We're just saying that because you said that. Now, Cushion here in his email, oh, I actually missed his first sentence here, or his first paragraph. "Hey, guys, I thought I would add my 2 cents to the Best of the Year show. As you may notice, I didn't really play that many games, nor did I play a wide variety of games, mostly the mainstream stuff, but what I did play, I felt pretty strongly about, so here it goes." Now, he starts out, and he's got the same order going here for the categories he did choose. His best movie was Star Wars Episode III: Revenge of the Sith. "I didn't get to watch many best movies, such as Batman Begins or Sin City, but I picked Episode 3 for Best Movie based on anticipation and delivery. Being a big Star Wars fan, I had been waiting for the creation of Darth Vader and a conclusion to the series for a long time. And for the most part, it delivered. To me, that's the best movie pick you could, best movie you can ask for, a long-awaited one that mostly doesn't disappoint." Now,
I could agree with that. You know, you've been waiting for something a long time, and it actually
doesn't suck.
Right.
Right, yeah,
like
totally.
It lives up to its hype a little bit.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
That's I almost never see anything like that, you know. And there was, that's in fact part of the reason why I haven't seen Saw 2.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the first one, haven't seen the second one yet, and I'm almost afraid to because the first one I liked a lot. You know, that movie was right up my alley, you know, just creepy, unnecessary, gruesome horror, you know, and the second one came out around Halloween this year, and I still haven't seen that. I'm kind of, I guess, just waiting for the DVD release, and I will be definitely picking that up soon. The worst movie. This is always a fun category. The bashing on things categories are great. In fact, next year we should probably have more categories like that, like worst graphics, worst gameplay, instead of just worst game overall.
Right.
Bashing on stuff is fun, because some stuff deserves it. Now, the worst movie, we had to cream of the crop picks this year, I think. I mean, compared to years past, I mean, we had a big, big, big game-to-movie release.
Mm-hmm.
Doom. We had the American Pie franchise, okay? A hilarious franchise put out like a fourth movie that's just kind of gone
straight to DVD.
You know, right, straight to DVD, and it doesn't have the cast, and it's got, you know, cameos of only like two or three of the people. There was Alone in the Dark, Stealth, that I remember making fun of way before it came out. There was The Dukes of Hazzard, an old classic brought to the silver screen. You know, I mean, there was quite a bit of stuff. Another comic movie, there was, you know, we had Fantastic Four this year.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. A lot of people would think that, you know, that's got to be one of the best movies ever, but I did not hear that about that movie. I didn't hear very many good things.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the books at all. In fact, I can't stand them, so.
I tried to read the books, and I got, like, 4 chapters or so in, and I was like, oh, okay, putting this down now.
I got about 150 pages into one of them and was like, this is the dumbest, worthless thing I've ever read in my life, and that was it, and done with. Then there was High Tension, classics that we've mentioned on the show before, where I get to go off and rant and foam at the mouth about how much I hate a movie because it was so bad. You know, movies like The Cave and The Fog, you know, these fantastic these fantastic movies. And then there's always the quality, like, War of the Worlds. There was, you know, there was quite a few blockbuster hits, you know, based on what they're saying. There's, you know, on what they paid for the movie. This movie had to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It cost us a gajillion dollars, you know, and I had to sacrifice my firstborn child. And it's gotta be great. So everybody went and saw it. And, you know, reviews spoke for themselves and whatnot.
I would like to say how disappointed I am with who won this category, because two of the three top ones are movies that I really, really like.
This is two of the three top crap movies
right.
voted for by you, the listeners.
I really like two of the three of those.
Right.
Now, the big one, I agree wholeheartedly. But
Yeah. Okay, so we had, of course, it splits on the two page. This is a 13-page show here, by the way. This has never happened before. Our notes have gone to, what, 4 pages?
Tops.
I don't think yeah. no 13 pages before. Anyhow, let's see. The runners up for worst movie were American Pie Bandcamp. I think it's American Pie Presents Bandcamp. I just wrote it down wrong. And that was like the little spin-off movie. Then there was Man Thing. Remember tearing that one up in a couple episodes ago?
Yeah.
And The Fog. Another classic. Those all did horribly bad. They were particularly poor movies. There was a few on here that I disagree with. You know, like there was Aeon Flux. I liked that movie. I didn't think it was complete crap at all. I thought it was a pretty damn good movie. I was entertained. Devil's Rejects is on that list, and as you just heard, it was my second pick for movie of the year. Fantastic Four made that cut also.
Wait a second.
Snakes.
There's four of these in red. You just did that so you could sneak in my two, huh?
Did I? Probably. Probably. Oh, you know what? I probably did. No, but they had more points than the rest, though.
Oh,
if you look at them, they have... See how everything has kind of like the same amount of points except for those in red and blue? The ones in blue were all the same as the rest, though. The mentionables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not just picking on you. Although I should. So, we had four that were... highly hated here. The least hated of them all, I guess, the least hated of the winners of the losers, I guess we could say. That goes to, and this blows my mind, people. Final Fantasy VII: Advent Children. Was that bad?
No, I loved the hell out of it.
I actually haven't seen it. I've been waiting for like a real release of that. None of this interweb crap.
But. In its defense, there wasn't a whole lot of people that voted for it.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, it's not like this was, like, 4 bajillion people saying this was bad. This just happened to have one more mention, and basically everybody else had one.
Mm-hmm.
The next, this is another Kobar favorite, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I like those books, and the movies are good, too.
I don't see how... I really don't understand how that could be that bad, though. I mean...
I thought it was really good.
I can see not liking reading the books. That takes a lot of time. But I can see the movie not being half bad. It's only a waste of 2 hours. Not like a
The Goblet of Fire was longer than that, I think.
Oh, okay. So 3 or 4 hours. Tops.
Well, not four, but it was... I think it was like 3.
Okay. But not looked upon kindly by our listeners for some reason. The second place loser was Doom. The Doom movie. Which... I didn't hear too many terrible things about when it first came out, I guess.
Didn't?
Yeah. I was hearing somewhat decent things about it. Well, I also heard some bad things, too.
We were talking about bad stuff on the show.
We've talked about good things about it, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But the biggest stinker of the year, my favorite, a recent one for me that I just saw, was War of the Worlds. That got way more points than everything else. In fact, that got almost as many points against it as everything else total.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this movie was bad. This movie was really, really bad, and I just tore it up just on a show or two ago. That was my number one pick for crap movie. My number two pick was High Tension, the one I disliked quite a bit. And
was that the French one?
Yeah, and then we got an email of somebody really liking that movie. Hey, it happens.
My first was actually The Cave. I thought that movie was totally uninspired, just had no soul. The ending was total crap. It was just a total piece.
And see, they've got me brainwashed because I still want to see that for some reason.
The Cave?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know why. I remember seeing the previews for it or something and thinking, I should really watch this movie.
Watch it. A totally uninspired piece of garbage.
Really?
Some person in Hollywood paid by the word was sitting on his toilet writing this piece.
Yeah. Lovely. Now, we had a few, I created two quotes on this one. One from, or not on this specific movie, but on this category anyway. Seal. he has to talk about Alone in the Dark and how bad this movie was. Words cannot express how bad Alone in the Dark was. It was completely pathetic, from the lines these actors had to recite to the wooden acting itself. Literally, I'm pretty sure the log in my fireplace is a better actor than these guys. Not to mention the pointlessness of the script. I laughed during the taxi chase scene in the beginning of the movie. How Uwe Boll, the director, even manages to get funding after such abysmal films that flop is one of the great questions of the universe. Now, Stealth was also bad, but not to the same extent. There's this one scene where the lead fighter chick is under attack by the elite North Korean guards. There's like 50 of them, the best soldiers in the world, all shooting at her. They don't come close to hitting her. Then she comes out, flails her arms with an inaccurate SMG, and manages to kill half of them from 2 kilometers away. Oh my god. Yeah, that's pretty bad. And Red Troll had something to say about War of the Worlds here. Aliens bury machines a million years ago for the invasion. Why not take over the world back then? Didn't they notice microbes killing them back then, too? The sun made it home, even though confronting the aliens. What the fuck? The movie's so full of plot holes and has bad acting. And that was basically my problems with the movie, too. On top of the effects were not very good. Like, I didn't have a problem with the machines walking around. I thought they looked well enough, you know? Mm-hmm. They weren't, like, all detailed and whatnot, like, as good as they should have been, but, like... Like, when they're sitting there hanging in those weird cage things, it just looked like they were, you know, 10 feet off the ground somewhere in a studio, and you know, and it just looked terrible. And the best part was that red stringy stuff that they were calling blood, you know, and that was being sprayed around.
Like growing like fungus.
Oh my god, it was it just looked so bad. It looked like they take rope, spray painted it red, and just kind of threw it around and said, yep, there we go. You know, I mean, it just, I don't know who the hell did that, but it was terrible. I that movie made me ill. Ill. And that's not good.
Well, they took a book that was written how many years ago and tried to make it into a movie where now we have much more, refined taste when it comes to, like, sci-fi and stuff. We're more technologically advanced. We got more stuff going on. And it was written, like, way back when...
Right.
I didn't have that problems UFOs with... were cigars.
Right. I didn't have problems with... I mean, mine was essentially that, you know, okay... It was just a little too cheesy with the sun, okay? Now, I don't know how it's written in the book or whatever, but they could have gone into that a little bit more and maybe shown him escape or something, so he didn't just show up on the end like, oh, hey, surprise!
Man.
You know, I mean, that was just kind of weak. And like I said, the effects were just crap. That could have been fixed, you know? There was just, I don't know, that movie just fell so flat for me. I could not believe it. It was terrible. Absolutely a shame. Now... A fun category here. This one's good because here we are, and we're going through the notes, and we're going through the emails, and we're reading through the forum, and we're giving things the scores, and we're tallying things up, and I'm, like, rooting for stuff. I'm like, come on! Okay, this was the best TV show category. We know we're a bunch of lazy couch potatoes, and I tend to sit around and play video games while I'm watching something on another monitor or TV or whatever, just to kind of keep me occupied while it is I'm you know, saving the world and all that, because some of us are just that uber. So, and I don't know about TV shows, beyond, you know, the few that I do watch. So there is a lot of stuff out there that I've never even heard of or never seen before. And I know TV is in a pretty sorry state right now. I mean, you know, there's just a bunch of crap out there, which is essentially why I haven't watched it in a long time.
There's an awful lot of decent stuff too, though.
There's a lot more than there was about 2 years ago. I remember there was nothing to watch that I even cared about.
Most of this list is very good stuff.
I guess. Gilmore Girls. I don't know who voted for that.
I don't remember who voted for that, but that was wrong. Whoever you are.
Oh, damn it.
Shame.
Wait. I've missed Cushion's worst movie.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry. I have to hold this in this hand so I don't forget or something. The worst movie, The Dukes of Hazzard. I saw... Oh, damn it. I really wanted to watch this, too, because I remember watching the TV show as a kid.
You never got around to it?
No, yeah, I still haven't. I saw many bad movies this year, but this was the obvious worst. Not only was this a TV movie, but it was a severely bastardized movie. Boss Hogg shouldn't look like a skinny Colonel Sanders. Him and Roscoe shouldn't be ruling the city with an iron fist. Now, I don't recall much from the TV show. Wasn't it about two guys driving around and trying to stop crooks that drove through town? Instead, the boys are moonshine runners who get busted, and I think one of them was supposed to be retarded. Now, making a bad TV movie is one thing, but when it doesn't even follow the source material, why was it even made? That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point. It looks like it had a few moments where it would be pretty funny, though, and that's basically, you know, what I'm looking for in the Dukes of Hazzard movies, so. But yeah, I completely agree. Boss Hogg should not have been played by Burt Reynolds. No way, we need some short, fat dude. you know? Definitely. Like, DeVito would have been alright. Okay, yeah, best TV show. We had a couple of great nominees on there, like The Daily Show. You know, mm-hmm. that was a fantastic one. Top Gear, coming from the BBC. Mythbusters, a really popular show, Mythbusters. Arrested Development, I know Kobar's mentioned to me that I should watch that before, and I've just tried, I know I didn't like that. Really? Mm-hmm. Something called Wonder Chosen?
Yeah,
no idea. House!
Is in the house.
Is in the house, he made the cut. The Boondocks, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Family Guy, Lost, I know that's a popular one. My Name is Earl, that's a newcomer with, what's that guy's name, Jason Lee?
Mm-hmm.
And Battlestar Galactica, the hexagon show. Now, let's see, what did we have here? We had, the runners-up were Top Gear from the BBC, which I was surprised made the cut. I was surprised that it got mentioned more than just one person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. House. Made it into the same number of votes for the same runner-up category, which is, I think, a fantastic show.
It is very good.
My Name is Earl made the same runner's-up cut.
Also very good.
Also, yeah, that's a pretty damn good show, but it's starting to, like, I don't know, there's however many episodes now, like 10 or 12 or something maybe, and I don't know, I'm getting tired of it already. About 8 into it, I just kind of, like, was just not impressed anymore. And I don't know what they need to do to revive it for me, but it's not doing too good all of a sudden. But at least in my book, anyway.
Right.
It's just not making the cut. But the two shows that got the highest... These were surprise shows to me. I was sure it would be some crap like Lost and... what's that other one that everybody likes so much? Desperate Housewives. You know, I would think it would be something like that. I would even vote for The Family Guy. I would say Family Guy would be on the top movies.
I was very shocked at how little Family Guy...
It got the least amount of votes possible. Yeah. And the least amount of points, though.
Yeah.
That's the amazing part. Remember, we had a point system for the votes here. The number two show was The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. That's a pretty good show on Comedy Central. I know I've seen quite a few episodes. And, in fact, I tend to watch them on my way home from work on the PSP.
There you go.
Because it's just, you know, kind of
so much traffic where you're going.
Yeah, and at the time of day I generally come home, I have nothing better to do anyway, and it's just nice. And it's pretty funny. So that's a good show. But the number one show our listeners watch was Mythbusters.
It's a fat show.
It's a good, I guess. It's a good show.
One.
Have you really?
Yeah.
I've watched like 4 and I'm bored out of my gourd.
No way, man. Those are great.
How long are they?
An hour, I think.
Right. That's where I lose them. It needs to be about a 22-minute show. Yeah. No. It needs to be way condensed, man. That show bores me to death for some reason.
You've seen the wrong episodes, though.
I was watching him trying to fly in one of them.
Like, that was a good episode.
No, it wasn't.
The,
it was
the
boring.
The jetpack one?
It was
where you got
stupid.
To see that. That fat red car, the one that can
actually fly. And then I remember seeing one with like triangles, and they were trying to determine if triangles keep fruit from rotting and sharpen your razors and whatnot. And no. I was like, this show's so gay.
You got to watch the first season.
Okay,
it's all about when it's just them, and they're like trying hard to get the ratings and stuff.
Right, right.
Because now they. They've added, like, that chick and a bunch of extra dudes. It used to be just the two of them.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it's gone a little downhill to me since then. But it's still fat. Still a lot of good stuff.
A show that didn't make the cut on here at all, didn't make any of the nominations at all?
Not even a mention.
Hmm?
Not even a mention.
Bullshit. Penn and Teller's bullshit.
It's been so long, I forgot about it.
Me too. Me too. And then I was cruising around the day, and it popped in my head, and I said to myself... That is a fantastic show.
Yeah, it is.
But what happened to it?
It just disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just on hiatus or what, but as far as TV goes, John Kay had something to say about The Family Guy. Let's see. Had the best quote in all of TV this year. The fat dad asks, that's Peter, if he was employee of the month, and the boss says she gave it to Soundwave. That's the Decepticon. He's my favorite one, by the way. Soundwave walks in and ejects a cassette. The cassette transforms into a picture of Soundwave's family, and Soundwave says, my wife, Denise, we met in a Christian chat room. That's so great. And Ribo put up Curb Your Enthusiasm. Holy fuck, if your ass hasn't downloaded, watched an episode of this show yet, click on File, open up a new tab, and head on over to Insert Your Favorite Torrent Site Here, and download Season 4 right now. It's the best episode ever. Yes, the entire season. Now, this is a very good show, and I've actually seen, I think, every episode except for the latest season, which I believe is 5. I haven't seen but, like, 2 or 3 episodes of that, I think. And it's a really funny show. That's Larry David, you know, from Seinfeld. So if you like that kind of humor, oh, my God, you're going to fall out of your damn chair right off the couch. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Now, we had a Best Actor, Best Actress, or the Best Performance category. Oh, wait. Cushion didn't have one.
And ourselves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. See, anyway.
Hey, I decided to pick my favorite would be Battlestar Galactica. We only got one big vote. And I think it's a really good show. Very good sci-fi. Number 2 I picked is House because, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was actually my number 2 pick also, House. House would be number 1. Would be number 1 except for the show that I gave number 1. It just does a better job of, like, keeping you wanting to watch it. Like, I could watch House forever. It's a great show. This one keeps me on the edge of my seat, and I need it to end, but it's that it keeps me with the cliffhangers all the time. Goes to Prison Break is my number one show.
The reason why Prison Break is not on my list is because it's so damn edgy that I, like, almost want to turn it off. Like, I'm like, oh, God! And I'm sitting there, and I'm like on the edge of my seat, and I'm about to fall
it's
off.
It's fucking tense, isn't it?
And I want to turn it off, and so it's like almost too much for me.
It's badass.
Oh, I watch it.
I sit there and yell at the screen. No, you can't do that. Oh my gosh.
Well, I watch it, and I enjoy the hell out of myself. I just say it's almost too tense for me.
It's good stuff, and I hated to bump House, but House doesn't do that to me. But I do enjoy it by like just an immense amount. I love watching that damn show.
The characters are really well written, and they work real well together.
And House is a god.
Yeah.
Fucking A. And I actually had a third pick for best TV show because I don't think anything can top this as far as, like, just raw humor goes. And you're like not PC, you know?
Right.
I mean, this just goes the extra mile. It goes that mile that no show will go. And it's, what's the one everybody, it's like South Park. This blows South Park out of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody says, oh my God, South Park, it's so bad, blah, blah, blah. No, okay. Fuck you. Watch Drawn Together.
Yeah.
This show. It will talk about offending people. This show's fantastic. It's a beautiful thing.
It is good.
It really is.
Although sometimes they like make jokes for the sole purpose of doing what's not PC.
Yeah. But you
and
know,
sometimes those aren't all that funny.
No, but goddamn it, it's I can use it though. I can remember how it goes, and then I can work it into my day somehow, and it's fantastic. I tell you. Now the best actor, actress, and or performance of. Not a very popular category. This is probably going to get scrapped next year. We had some votes for Gilbert Godfrey, Mickey Rourke. He played Marv in Sin City. Christian Bale. You know, this was Bruce Wayne, mm-hmm. Batman in Batman Returns. Ben Stiller from Dodgeball. Jamie Foxx in Ray, which actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've actually seen part of it. Jet Li in Unleashed. The fucking who voted for that? I forgot. Ribo? Was that Ribo? Voted for the Penguins in March of the
yes.
Penguins.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba. And then somebody voted for, I guess, the voice of Cloud in Final Fantasy Advent Children. Oh, I spelled it wrong. It's AC, not AA. And Bob Saget in The Aristocrats. And let's see here. The runner, there was basically only 4 that got any, 3 that got any real votes here. And I did want to point out that Jamie Foxx, because he did do a pretty good job. I actually noticed it, and I don't pay attention to that kind of thing.
I watched the whole thing, and it was very well done. And so, he did do a very good job.
Yeah, I was impressed. I didn't think he could pull it off. It's probably what surprised me the most about him. So, anyway, we'll call them winners. They all had the same amount of points.
Yeah, they all did.
There was 3 of them. And Mickey Rourke, Marv, he played Marv in Sin City. Christian Bale, Batman from Batman Returns. And Jessica Alba, who played Nancy in Sin City. And we got Ribo's fantabulous quote, "I've fapped to Jessica Alba so many times, I'm surprised she didn't get pregnant." Fantastic. My vote actually goes to the guy, I don't know what his name is, but who plays House
mm-hmm.
on the TV show House, because I could not imagine pulling that off. Could you imagine trying to be that fucking just, like, I think his humor is, like, the best, and I would just bust out laughing all the time. You know, like, I would not be able to contain myself. And just the job that he does is absolutely spectacular. Just how he keeps it just straight.
It is good, and you can't picture anybody else in that
role. No, I couldn't. It's beautiful. I did have a bad performance pick, though, which goes the exact opposite of the best performance here. Because I think that Christian Bale is a terrible actor. He seems like he shows no emotion, like he's got too much Botox in his head or something.
Which worked well for American Psycho.
Yeah. But I don't think it played out well in Batman at all. And the way that he would change, I am the Batman. You know, it just, I don't know, man. It Batman was a fantastic movie, but it just kind of screwed me up listening to him talk and watching him get around.
Yeah, I can see how you would say that.
I mean, that was like the flaw in that movie. If there's anything that's really bad, it drove me nuts trying to watch that guy in that movie.
Which shows how awesome that movie was because
right,
you hated the acting of the main fucking character. And still it was your favorite movie of the year.
It was really, really good. In fact, I need to go buy that. I actually don't have that yet. I don't know how it slipped under the radar, but it did. Oh, it's because I saw the theater. That's what happened.
Mm.
So that's why. Any case. And you actually didn't have a Best Actor, Actress, or Best Actor, Actress performance.
No, I didn't.
Neither did Cushion, it looks like. Now, on to a fabulous category here. This is one of my personal favorites. Hottest half-naked video game chick. let's see here. This had quite a few votes, too.
Some of them a little more serious than others.
Right, oh yeah, this is great, huh? There was the real nominees were Jessica from Dragon Quest VIII, Tira, the new girl from in Soul Calibur III, the green chick with the circle of ass kick.
She's got a little something going from her.
She really does. She almost made my runners-up list. In fact, she should have, but when I saw her in action, I wasn't so impressed. But all the artwork on the interweb was fantastic. There was Blood Rain, always a popular choice. Tifa Lockhart, there's another long-standing member of the hot video game chick crowd. Asuka Kazama from Tekken 5, Christy from Dead or Alive, A.N. from Dead or Alive, Ivy from Soul Calibur 3. I don't know why everybody thinks she's so hot. I think she's just disgusting.
She's got like this lesbian thing
Yeah, I don't like it at all. Fina from Haunting Ground, Eva from Metal Gear Solid 3, Alma from Fear. That's fucking, who voted for that? That was Zayfan, I think.
Probably.
Because remember, he had some kind of quote about necrophilia.
Yeah.
Okay, then there was basically what I'm considering joke categories. There was
I don't think the last one was.
I don't think it was either, but I'm calling it a joke category because I didn't even count the damn thing. Uncle Toxie put in Manjaw. And if you ever...
Well, he used the real name.
She's not... Yeah, he actually put whatever the fuck her name is in there. I don't know what it is. I can't remember.
I think he was serious.
Miss Webb. Yeah, I know. I'm sure he was serious, but I'm not allowing that one on principle. Okay, so Uncle Toxie gives Manjaw her 3 points.
We need that little
she doesn't
clip
count.
From Modem.
She's not.
She's got a Manjaw.
She doesn't count because she's not a video game character chick
I'm not
or
even
animated.
Sure she's human either.
I don't think so. She's not. I think she's a 007 enemy.
Oh, that's
she's a bad guy.
The exact same thing. Because of what's his name?
Jaws. Well, yeah, the guy with the rawr.
Yeah.
Anyway, then there was WS Ninja voted for Lita. That's my EverQuest 2 assassin. John K voted for Melly. That's Rybo's Final Fantasy XI character. And Rybo voted on Hades, which is Hades' Final Fantasy XI character. Unfortunately, there was no other votes for those characters. The runners-up were Christy from Dead or Alive. Oh, well, kind of. Actually, the only real runner-up there was Ivy. But the noticeables were Tina... and it was because there was a fantastic quote we had on that one here that I didn't seem to put in. Oh, yes, I did. It was Cushions. Hottest half-naked video game chick, Tina from Dead or Alive. Even though technically no Dead or Alive game came out in 2005, I'm still going with Tina. That was a year-transcending category. I need to make these clear. Because everybody loves all-American big-boobed blondes who speak fluent Japanese. Honorable mention goes to Taki from Soul Calibur 3 because Namco still kept her in the jiggly, nipply bodysuit. And yes, I felt dirty writing that entire thing. But it felt good, though, didn't it? Just coming clean and admitting it. Look what we're doing, okay? And let's see. Christy, another really popular one. I believe I think she's one of the newer ones. I think she came into DOA 3. She was a really popular one. A.N., who is like the nemesis of my number one pick of all time for hottest video game chick, which of course is Kasumi. didn't make the cut, but that's okay because she rises to the top in my book. And who else was? Oh, we did the rest. And the top two were tied: Tira, the new chick from in Soul Calibur 3, and Blood Rain. Because Blood Rain's pretty damn hot. Plus, she did that little Playboy spread a little while ago. Remember that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That she had that topless picture in there they drew of her, or painted or whatever the hell they use, or probably photoshopped.
I went ahead and picked Jessica from DQ8 because, man, does she have a rack.
Yeah.
I actually haven't
played it, so.
Yeah, she's got a rack. And I'm gonna tip my hat to Tira from Soul Calibur 2.
Fine job.
I don't know what it is, but there's just something there.
I think it's all the colors, I think, and the torn clothes. I mean, there's
the anime hair.
Yeah. That's good stuff. We're such dirty old bastards. Oh my god, we should be shot. And I have to give the nod to the Dark Elf chicks and Lineage too. Come on.
That's the only reason to play that game.
Exactly. It's a wank fest. It's not a gank fest like World of Warcraft. Now, the best mod category, the nominees.
This was like a landslide.
Yeah, this was a shock to me here because, oddly enough, the game itself didn't get rated too highly, but the mod did, at least in the mod category. The game itself didn't make too many appearances in our little thing here. But Quake... fucking Hades. Best mod. Quake 4 as a Doom 3 mod is what he's saying it is. Gary's mod for Half-Life 2. Classic Doom mod for Doom 3. Day of Defeat Source. Frag Ops for UT2K4, which is actually one fantastic fucking game. Hexcoda 01 for Neverwinter Nights. And Cushion actually put in the PSP for modability. Let's see here. Cushion has to say the PSP. I'm serious. The PSP system itself for best mod. From the emulators to the downgrader to the homebrew stuff to the cracked web browser and Wipeout Pure, this system is basically a modder and cracker's dream. And let's see here. I guess the mentionables were Dave Defeat Source. That is pretty popular and it had more votes than everything else. Classic Doom was actually my pick. I played that and loved the shit out of it. Going through levels that I had played over and over, I mean thousands of times before, but seeing them in 2005's wondrous glory.
Real 3D.
Blew my mind. Oh, it was just amazing. I had to play naked. I got tired of changing my pants. Okay. But the number one, the top pick.
Like an insane amount.
Yeah, like in fact it probably had more points than all of them total. Yeah. Like, even, like, the ones I didn't mention, like, well, that we named off total, was Gary's mod for Half-Life 2. So if you are a Half-Life 2 player, you absolutely must get your hands on that mod, apparently. Crowbars did not have the picks.
Yeah, I'm not really into the whole mod thing. I haven't been playing a lot of games that take mods.
You can't even get me to use, like, a modded UI in a game that I play the shit out of. Like, I just don't do it. Like, I am not too big on this kind of stuff for some reason, so... I don't know why. They seem like good ideas. I like them, and I will get, like, one or two that, like, is more of, like, a... Not so much of a mod, but more of just, like, a fix for something I feel is broken.
Right.
You know, like, I remember in EverQuest, the only mod I had allowed me to press Enter to click, like, okay, instead of having to click it all the time. That was, like, the one mod I had. And then, like, in World of Warcraft, I have the Loot Link one just to keep track of everything I've seen in case I want to look back at stats or whatever. Haven't used it once, just got it because I've heard it mentioned to me twice now. You know, and the Classic Doom mod, I had to get it. Had to go out and get that, you know. Playing through those old levels again is amazing. I just think it has serious balancing issues. Like, the guns are, like, more powerful or something, it feels like. I don't know. At least the version I played was, like, 0.07 or something, or 6 or 5.8 or whatever the hell it was at the time. I'm sure it's been tweaked out now because I know they've been working on it because I've seen it back up on File Planet. So, gotta get your hands on that even if you don't like Doom 3, so what? This is going through Doom 1 again. It's sweet. Unfortunately, they're not able to do all the levels, if I remember correctly. They were only allowed to do the shareware levels because id Software would have shit their pants, I guess.
Why?
I don't know.
What the hell do you care? You're not selling copies of Doom.
Yeah, no shit. In fact, hire these fuckers to make the rest of the levels and put out an expansion pack and call it fucking, you know, Doom Prequel 3, you know, whatever.
That's probably what they're doing, just not hiring those guys.
Yeah, probably. Let's see, was there actually... No, Cushion had nothing to say for best mod. Best Homebrew. This is a fantastic category here. I think this is a badass category because this is the kind of thing that requires a little bit more than just like, you know, listening to Tech TV or G4, whatever the hell it is, all day, you know, and a little bit more than what?
I decided I do have something for this.
For mods?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, not for mods, for homebrew.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay. Let's see. Are the nominees that were up there from the listeners was Generation Next. That was actually, I think, from Hades, I remember. We didn't actually write down who put what in here, so I'm like barely remembering who put it in there, but that's not important.
Right.
Which is actually a Nintendo and like a Famicom clone. Like an actual built thing, mm-hmm. which you can get, which is pretty damn cool. But I know that didn't Nintendo just lose like the patent on the design of the NES or something just like a little bit ago because it's been 20 years?
Right.
So there's other companies making these things now. SNES 9X, the TY, SNES 9X TYL. I believe that's the one for the PSP only. I don't think it's for anything else because I have it on the PSP. I mean, if I had a modded PSP, I would use something like that, but these things are not legal here in the United States and we wouldn't do that. The MPH downgrader is on this list too. That was the 2.0 down to 1.5 firmware downgrader for the PSP. Dr. MD, which is a Genesis, I guess, emulator for the GamePark 32 GP2X. PSP emulation in general got on there. Fast Loader 0.7, and I kind of added on there as a note, UMD emulator 0.8 was like made by like the same guy or something, and it came out after his 0.7 one, and it has like options to make it operate like Fast Loader 7.7 if it didn't work with the new emulation method. So that's the one that if I had something of the sort, I would probably use. MDMA 0, I guess this is a PS2 HD loader patch. Neo CD for the PSP. Maxis' patch, this is sweet, for OS X. OS 10. I just like to say OS X for some reason. That 10.4.x, this is the x86 version. Yes, that's the one that runs on PC hardware. Mm-hmm. Something called Noise 2SA. And Nestor J for the PSP. What did the survey say? The noticeables were Fast Loader, because it allows you to play all those great PSP games without actually having it, and SNES 9X TYL, because it's actually Super Nintendo Entertainment System emulation on the PSP at a reasonable speed, unlike the other SNES 9X version that's out there. Nintendo emulation in general on the PSP gets a little bit of a nudge simply because, not that it's done so well. I mean, it's been done to death. It's been done perfectly everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that it's like, well, a lot of us have waited 20 years for this.
Right.
To be able to play. In fact, when I was in the doctor's office, you know, and at the hospital this week, what did I do? I played Zelda on the damn PSP the whole time. I just sat, even when I went to the emergency place, sitting there playing The Legend of Zelda just for the fuck of it, you know? I mean, it's fantastic. Especially the looks you get from the people that don't know what you're doing, you know, like, and the ones that are kind of clued in are the best, though. They recognize the music, but they don't know how you're doing it. You're not holding a Game Boy.
Right.
You know? And they've got this look, like, what the fuck is going on over there? I can hear what sounds like The Legend of Zelda. I love that. But the number one vote, the big dog for best homebrew application, as voted on by the listeners, was the MPH downgrader for the PSP.
And I agree.
That was your number one pick.
Because without that, all the 2.0 guys, all the people that have bought it since they changed it, they're screwed.
Yep.
They can't use any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the gateway to it all. Without that, the rest of it is horse.
It is. You're right. It is. It's the gateway to the mods, to the homebrew applications. I actually gave that second place in my votes. But I had two picks. I gave that second place. And the reason I gave that second place was only because the first one is so goddamn cool and useful, and it's just like uber. The MPH downgrader, it's a one-shot wonder. You use it to downgrade and you're done.
Right,
you know?
Unless you need to upgrade again. But.
Right, and there are those people, for whatever reason, upgrade back up to 2.0, play whatever it is they want to play and downgrade again. You need to figure something else out. That's short-lived.
Mm.
You know, they're going to have a new downgrader or something. We're going to have something else come out. They're going to have hacked 2.0 firmware at some point someday. They're going to find another exploit. It's going to go away.
Right.
Right? I ended up picking XBMC for the Xbox Media Center. This thing, without this, I could not imagine running all that cool shit on your Xbox. And right. Like, I did not like the rest of the, like, the dashboards and all that crap. This thing has such a cool interface. You can put, make it look however you want. You can set it all up to talk to your computer, no problem, you know, and it just lists all your files, all your videos, your music, your movies, your ROMs, your, you know, porno collection. I mean, you name it. This thing does it all in a beautiful interface. You've got games loaded on it there. It has the little pictures for you, you know, like the game, like it'll show you what game it is and have a little graphic for it, not just like a list. Yeah. The way this thing operates is just amazing. It's updated constantly, and it's been around for a long time. It's not going anywhere. This thing is king shit as far as Xbox goes, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So this it just beats the MPH downgrader for me. But without the MPH downgrader, a lot of people would just be sitting there kicking around their PSP right now going, yeah, piece of shit, why did I upgrade this, you know? Trying to trick kids in the schoolyard into trading them a 1.5 for a 2.0. Come on, man, mine's newer. All right. Best game you're still waiting for / vaporware category. Malarkey. This is the category that doesn't exist. All right. We had some cool nominees here. Because, you know, there's the obvious ones. Duke Nukem Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the ones that are on the tippy. They're right there. They're coming out tomorrow, but you just can't get your hands on it. Like The Elder Scrolls IV, Oblivion. The Legend of Zelda, The Twilight Princess. Heroes of Might and Motherfucking Magic 5.
That's soon now, isn't it?
February something. Mm. Yes. And you wonder why I've been playing WoW like a crack fiend trying to get to 60 to prove that it sucks? Because when Heroes of Might and Magic 5 comes out, look out, baby. Stalker. StarCraft 2, which neither of us, I thought, has even been announced yet.
It hasn't.
Yeah, but everybody just expects it to come out there. So I'll throw Warcraft 4 into the mix. while we're making shit up. Final Fantasy 11 2. What else can we make up? How about My Magic Heroes 6? You know, why not? We'll just make more shit up.
Well, as long as they decide that they do want to continue in other genres, StarCraft 2 will happen.
Oh, I think that's a no-brainer. But right now, I'm betting it's 3 or 4 years off.
At least. I mean, they may switch to a solidly MMO market and
oh
just
my God.
Stop making everything else because
no,
it's
Blizzard,
so much money.
Blizzard is the RTS king.
They don't care if the MMOs are stuffing money in their pocket. They've made more on WoW than the rest of their careers.
I know. That's
total.
That's sad. But that's short lived though. I think the
short-lived my ass. They've already made. I almost guarantee they've already made more money than Warcraft 3, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 1, StarCraft, Diablo, and Diablo 2 all combined.
Probably. That's sick. That's sick though, especially when it's a company known for making such fantastic real-time strategy games. You know, going the way of the MMO, which we'll talk about that a little bit later, as a matter of fact. But what else made this list? Pirates of the Burning Sea, Fallout 3. Now that's a good pick on this list. My personal favorite, StarCraft Ghost, that was carried over from last year. Thanks for blowing that one for me, Rybo. Mega Man, Game Boy, Advance Anniversary Collection, Metal Gear Solid 3, Substance, Project Offset, Kingdom Hearts 2, Scarface, The World is Yours, I thought that actually came out, Devil May Cry 3, Soul Calibur for the DS, I don't know if that was just like somebody dreaming, and Guilty Gear, one of them, I guess, for the DS. Those were the nominees. Now, there was, Cushion had to say, best game he's still waiting for, Zelda, The Legend of Zelda, The Twilight Princess. I'm eagerly awaiting this game for a few reasons. I want to have a reason to play my GameCube again, and it just looks good and looks like it will be great to play. One can only hope the delay will just make the game better. Now, I would like to have thought that that would score a little bit higher. However, it did make it in third place.
You didn't even vote for it.
No, I didn't. And you know why? I don't really care to play that game. There. I said it.
No, what?
I don't care.
Why?
I didn't enjoy Ocarina of Time all that much.
Really?
Yeah. I never even tried Majora's Mask because I didn't like Ocarina of Time that much. I just didn't care. Wind Waker came out, I got burned. Don't care for a 3D Zelda until they fix some things, I guess. I just don't see it happening.
Hmm.
I mean, I do not... Okay, Ocarina of Time was fat. I did enjoy it.
It was an awesome game.
I did not manage to make it all the way through it because it just wasn't that good. And you know what I think is bothering me about these games? About these recent ones, anyway? And it started with the Link's Awakening on the Game Boy. The Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Is this collection stuff. And these, like, carrying on quests of, like, trading. And all this, like, okay, the original Zeldas didn't have that. You right. didn't really have all these stupid-ass little minigames that you would spend fucking 10 hours of your day trying to... You go to town and there's shoot your arrow and hit the moving duck and, you know, you gotta get them all perfect and you'll get a heart container. That's bullshit. That's stupid. I don't want to do that. And every Zelda for the last latest while has had that crap in it and I can't stand it. They
so
drive
don't
me
do
insane.
It.
No! Then you're gimped!
Gimped my ass. You do not need 20 heart containers to beat Zelda.
Yeah, but I like having all that stuff,
okay,
you know?
Then you do it.
No, because I don't have fun doing all that crap. I don't have fun. Give me hidden dungeons to explore. Give me puzzles within those dungeons to explore. Give me tough bosses to fight, not these panty-waist bosses in Wind Waker, okay? And don't give me these fucking little puzzles that I have to carry around items and find some random jack-off in the world to give it to, so he gives me another item to find some other random person to give it to him, to give me another item, and 37 items down the road, I get something I'm not going to use anyway or don't want in the first place, you know? Or I got to spend fucking 6 hours in a shooting gallery trying to, you know, affect how to use the goddamn bow and arrow just to get a part of a heart container or something.
So you would rather bomb walls for that 6 hours?
Yes, I would. That's way more adventurous for me. That is way more fun. With that feeling of exploration versus the feeling of just, like, dry monotony, I can't stand it. The latest Zeldas piss me off.
What about all the people that like doing the shooting thing?
Fuck them. You know what they can play? They can play Pokemon, okay? They can go play WarioWare. They want to play those little minigames? Fuck them. Get out of my game. Right? This has been a long time coming. I've been burned on Zelda for a long time, and I've just been too afraid to say anything about it. I'll get just mobbed by... How can you say bad things about Zelda? For Christ's sake, you people can't really honestly enjoy sit it there and do these stupid-ass minigames over and over
and
over again.
Well, I don't do the
again.
Whole completion thing. So...
It makes me angry.
I really liked Ocarina of Time.
That game was fat. But there was too many things in it that felt like it just sucked. Having to type in the stupid things to play the ocarina.
I liked it.
Fuck that. Give me a list and let me pick the damn song I want. I don't want to have to memorize all these stupid ass things for this fucking game.
It was like 4 buttons.
Dude, there was a lot of the different songs though.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to remember all that crap and I'd constantly... And you go to look at the list and it would play out the whole sequence again or whatever. You know, it's just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Just give me a menu and let me pick where the fuck I want to warp to, you know? Seriously. I have some serious issues with the latest Zeldas, man. I can't play
Apparently.
Them. I can't play
I
them.
I thought you liked the GBA ones and whatnot. So you,
right.
I try to
steer clear of those, but the mini games on those are generally like way less intensive. You know, like I don't know, because they're 2D. They just like the arrow shooting ones are like 500 times as easy, it seems like. I don't know what it is. It's not like they're super hard. They're just not as time consuming for some reason. Like there's just not as many of them, I guess. But the rest of them, oh god, they make me so fucking mad. I can't play them. I cannot play them. That's why I haven't played Majora's Mask at all. I never went back and finished Ocarina of Time, even though I did enjoy it. I mean, that game blew my mind. But then I got so sick and tired of all the little things I had to feel like I had been doing. You know, and I couldn't discern whether some were ones I had to do, or some ones I was only, you know, optional.
Right.
I couldn't tell. I'm gonna get all kinds of hate mail over this shit. I forgot where the hell I was now. I was ripping the shit out of Zelda. What was I talking about? We were in the, I don't even remember what category that was. Homebrew, Zelda. That's right. Best game you're still waiting for, Vaporware category. Let's see. We read off the entire list. Okay, that's right.
I
so
think we're on saying who won.
Right, right. The mentionables were basically StarCraft II, Fallout 3, and StarCraft Ghost. Big names there that we just haven't seen yet. I'd like to throw Kingdom Hearts in there, too, I guess. Kingdom Hearts 2, I hear fantastic things about that. Just not quite as big as the top three games that people wanted to see. The number three was actually The Legend of Zelda The Twilight Princess, with Duke Nukem Forever still on the list, many, many years running now. And the number one game with more than double the votes of Zelda was The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. Right? Now, this here goes to show you what I'm talking about, okay? Our listeners generally play a lot of role-playing games, okay? If Oblivion gets more than twice the points of Zelda, you know, that says something to me about Zelda. Not about the gamer. Most of the gamers get over bad graphics or, you know, gameplay issues or camera issues, and they play and they enjoy it and they have fun. Mm-hmm. But why is it that Oblivion kicks so much more ass than Zelda, which has just fucking, you know, it's Zelda for Christ's sake, you know?
Well, Oblivion's also the Elder Scrolls for Christ's sake.
It's got three games.
True.
Versus, like, 10. All of which have kicked ass. For both series, you know?
Well, you just said, like...
In my opinion, but as far as sales figures go and the rest of the world goes, these games are smash hits. Just incredible.
I'm excited about Zelda. Because I think it's going to be...
I'm gonna play it. I know I am. It's gonna happen, okay? I'm brainwashed, but I don't want to. Because I know I'm gonna not like it. I know there's gonna be too many elements of it that just drive me insane.
Maybe.
I hate to say it, but it's true.
My model also might realize that, oh, I went too far the other way, time to reel it in.
And the fishing. Sitting out there with the goddamn pole. Well,
that game blew.
All feel the same to me, though. I just can't do it.
Well, you're talking about the all. You mean...
All those stupid-ass little mini-games in there. They drive me insane. I can't do it.
Right. Wind Waker sucked.
Talking about Ocarina of Time fishing.
Well, I never fished in that game.
Oh, god damn, you're
there's
so...
one point you had to fish.
No, but see,
for, like
you have to
minutes.
Do this crap to get, like, the empty bottle. You have to do these stupid things to get an empty bottle. You may not need 20 heart containers, but it sure fucking helps to have 3 bottles, you know? That's a giant fucking help right there when you can swig down another 2 full heal potions, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Hell no, the fairies.
Yeah, well, okay, well,
I
the fairies.
Just fill it up with
Yeah,
the
because
fairies.
In case you die, right. You know? Yeah, right. I'm just saying. I don't like the route they took with the Zeldas. I just don't like it. I'm pissed off about it. I haven't really enjoyed them, and Wind Waker sucked. So, anyway, your pick was Zelda.
Right.
I guess.
I would say followed by Oblivion, because the only reason I'm not all excited about that is because my computer can't run it.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
And I don't know when I'm going to be able to...
I'm going to get 10 frames out of it if I'm lucky.
No way.
Yeah, way.
On yours?
Dude, when Morrowind came out, I had a GeForce 3, and it seemed like it barely ran on that thing. And it was brand new at the time.
Hmm.
You know? So I know that this is just going to kick my ass. I mean, it's not going to be worth it.
Well, and your computer's like twice the machine mine is.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Anyway, it's not. This box pisses me off. My picks were actually my number one game I've been waiting for, Heroes of Might and Magic 5. Because I think I've mentioned it before.
Waiting for it since 3.
Right, and yeah, right, because 4 was absolute shit, and 2 and 3 have consumed more hours than any other games I've ever played, hands down. Mm-hmm. I mean, more than even shit like, you know, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy XI, EverQuest 2, nothing pale in comparison,
which
is
crazy,
nuts.
Because you have a lot of time in
I've
Final
I've already got
Fantasy.
10 days into World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
It's only been, what, 2.5, 3 weeks tops?
Something about got, 3 weeks, I think.
I've got 10 days played. I do a lot of fucking around, though. I got my cooking to 300, my first aid, 2 alts that are crafters with 2 real crafting things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, The Elder Scrolls is my second pick. StarCraft Ghosts is my third pick. Because
the game's going to suck.
I know it's going to suck, and that's why I want it to come out so bad now.
They're just like that Dragon
it.
Game. That
they're
going to
cancel
Katana,
it. That Katana?
That's the one.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably going to wind up canceling it anyway. They're just going to say, why? Who cares? We got World of Warcraft making us so much money. It's just disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Best game you didn't play and or sleeper hit. The nominees were World of Warcraft, God of War, Advance Wars Dual Strike, Shadow of the Colossus. I fucking don't know how to pronounce this. It's Luminous, I guess. I call it Lumines, Lumines.
Spell Lumines.
It's right. But it's got to be Luminous. Thank you, Zombie5, for slapping me around on that so I pronounced it correctly. Fear, First Encounter Assault, Motherfucking Recon, Full Metal Alchemist, Ninja Gaiden Black, Suikoden 4, Hunting Ground, Indigo Prophecy, Black and White, Grand Theft Auto. That's supposed to be San Andreas. Dragon Quest VIII, Jak 3, Battlefield 2, Retail, Nintendogs, and Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, and We Love Katamari. Now, Cushion has to say, best game you didn't play, Sleeper Hit, Ninja Gaiden Black. I really have no explanation why I haven't gotten this game yet. When Ninja Gaiden came out the first time, it looked fantastic and I was excited since I love the Nintendo Entertainment System Ninja Gaiden games, but like most gamers, I was turned off by the high difficulty. Now with the Hurricane Pack improvements, the easier Ninja Dog setting, and the $30 price tag, I really had no excuse. Of course, I keep telling myself it's because the NES games aren't unlockables anymore. Oh yeah, that's kind of a bummer. The runners up, World of Warcraft, mentionable, because how the fuck did you not... Okay.
You bought it and didn't play
it. No. That's the next category. This one's you just flat out didn't play it, or it just like crept up on you. How did you not see this game in the last year? Okay, now, you know, okay, God of War, major press. This one I saw coming a mile away, being a huge game, didn't play it though. Dragon Quest VIII, that one actually kind of crept up on me. I really did not think it was going to fly that well. Turned out to be like the hugest fucking game in Japan. Did not so well here, but everybody who's played it thinks it's the fucking... shit. Mm-hmm. It just didn't sell that well because, you know, Americans suck. And Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, what is basically the hand of God, as far as I can tell. Those were the runners up. And the number two spot actually went to Fear. The sleeper hit best game you didn't play went number two went to Fear. A lot of people didn't see that one coming out and being such a good game, and especially when you're going up against something like Quake 4. You know, a lot of people said, oh my god, fucking A, Quake 4 is coming out. What the hell is this Fear crap? Another first-person shooter doesn't stand a chance. And it turned out to be pretty damn good. But the number one game, Shadow of the Colossus, a game I have not heard enough about. Like, I keep hearing you just do one or two little things, yet people keep talking about it as if it's just, you know, crack.
It's also my big vote, because I didn't even hear about this game until it was out. And then all of a sudden, boom, everyone's just talking about this game where you ride around on a horse.
Fight these giant colossi and whoop some ass, and that's all you do, though. But apparently it's hella fun, so gotta get your hands on it. I have a demo sitting here that's been sitting here for over 2 months now. I even had a note on my computer, on my desktop, play Shadow of Colossus demo. For the last 2 months it's been here. And I just deleted it today because I figured I'd put it on the tail.
Right.
I'm giving up. I'll never play it. You know, it's gonna slide.
By the time you hit 60 and WoW, Might and Magic
Heroes
5
Might and Magic 5 will be out. Oh, no, it's not gonna take me that long.
It's early February, isn't it?
February 2nd, I believe.
Mm.
I still got 15 days, man. I'm level 43. Almost 44. I'm like 10,000 experience away.
That's so funny.
What?
Huh? What, that you're almost 44, and there's some people I know that have been playing for months, like, every day.
Yeah.
And playing solidly.
And they're low 50s?
Yeah.
Yep. My pick was actually World of Warcraft. Best game I didn't play. Now, remember, I said this last show. I did my list before, you know, last month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I did not play World of Warcraft since it was released. I played the stress test beta for a little bit. Hated the game. Finally ran out of other games to play that I had any urge to play at all. Just had nothing that, like, even the Shadow of the Colossus demo, I couldn't even play that to dissuade me, you know? I wound up getting into the Dungeons & Dragons Online beta. That didn't do it for me. That just didn't happen. And, well, more about this later, but basically, it was the game I didn't play that was just, like, the hit that just came along and knocked everybody's socks off. Whether you admit it or not, it's simply huge.
Mm-hmm.
Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow. I didn't play it. I need to. I need to. You know, playing this game will get you closer to God. Resident Evil 4? If Dawn of Sorrow, Castlevania is the right hand of God, Resident Evil 4 is the left hand of God. I'm telling you, these are the games that need to be played, and I didn't play them. God of War.
Mm-hmm.
Ass-kicking action game. Somehow, I don't have it. Dual layer. And Shadow of the Colossus. Again, apparently just the cat's meow, and I did not play that game. And these are the games I'm hearing the best things about all year long. And somehow I've managed to avoid it, and I wonder why I'm
like
such a disgruntled gamer. Yeah, like all the best games, I didn't play. And Dragon Quest VIII.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that actually doesn't make this list, because I have Dragon Quest VIII.
Right.
Okay. Best game you best game you acquired and never played. God of War. This was almost the same list for half of them. Polarium, World of Warcraft, Guild Wars, City of Heroes 2, Jedi Empire, Final Fantasy 11. How do you acquire a fucking MMORPG and not play it? Why would you buy it?
Well...
No, there's a story behind it. That was a setup. Burnout Revenge, that one I can't pronounce, Atelier Isis or whatever it is. Silent Hunter, Prince of Persia 2, Act of War, Prince of Persia 3, Shin Megami, Tensei Nocturne, Fire Emblem, The Sacred Stones, Metal Gear Solid 3, Nintendogs, Hotshots Golf 4, and EverQuest 2. Those are the games that you actually went out and got and never played. Cushion here, Metal Gear Solid 3. It's still sitting on my shelf from last Christmas. Now, I know it's an awesome game with a great story, but I just haven't felt like playing a stealth game just yet. I guess it has to do with me wanting to play quick games lately. That must be why when I pick up the Mega Man Collection and see MGS3 next on the shelf, I want to kick myself in the ass. The runners-up were Guild Wars, Final Fantasy XI, Burnout, or the Mentionables at least, Burnout Revenge, and EverQuest 2. Now basically, they get picked out because how the fuck do you wind up, like, buying Guild Wars and not even try? Like, I don't understand how you pick up an MMORPG and not at least try it. I can understand any other game.
Well, and this, a lot of people might have taken this as a never played as not as never even opened the thing and put it in, but like put
never
it in,
really played.
Right, played it for a
right.
few minutes.
Right,
you know,
right,
started
right,
up.
Right.
I'm gonna get back to this and never do.
I have a lot on that list.
Yeah.
I do that with a lot of games. You know, like I even have games I play a lot that I consider I never played. In fact, my second pick here is one. Let's see. So yeah, EverQuest 2. You know, it was a pretty good game. I can see why people would go out and buy it. There was a lot of hype surrounding that game. You know, but. You know, maybe just never got around to it because he kept saying, I needed more time. I need more time to play an MMORPG.
Well,
so maybe
the EverQuest 2 guy apparently needed a better computer, got all hyped up, was going to bought the game, bought all these maps and stuff, and then decided, you know what? I don't really have the money for a new computer right now.
Oh,
and
okay.
So never got around to it.
Okay, that definitely explains that. The winners all tied with the same amount of points. Number one games that everybody bought and didn't play and or, well, yeah, they bought and did not play or didn't give it, you know, much of a chance. God of War, World of Warcraft, Metal Gear Solid 3, and Nintendogs. Dragon Quest VIII. Probably, no. Unquestionably the best RPG of the year. And it's sitting here in my living room, mocking me. Jessica's titties.
Yeah.
Come here and play.
A little bouncy?
Yeah, and I'm not doing it. I can't play that game. My second pick was actually Neverwinter Nights Diamond. Now, I did play this for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I was getting into it for like the seventh or eighth time. And you know, it just switched off. Just like that. Just like I think I'm starting to think I forced myself to enjoy it. Because I'm a whore for Dungeons & Dragons. I am. It's just that way. I can't help it. I mean, you could seriously drop a deuce on a bun and call it, you know, a fucking D&D burger, and I would have to try it. I mean, seriously, I'm that bad. I'm like Ribo with Star Wars. You know, it's just that way. So some of us get a little affected by things like that, you know.
Right.
However, that's not saying it's a bad game. It's a fantastic game. 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay. And Metal Gear Solid 3. I have it sitting here. I know it's fat. It's an experience, you know. And I cannot bring myself to play that game because the controls are horrid. I can't do it.
My biggest one is Fear. I got the game. I installed it. I started playing. I knew instantly that it was like Uber. And it was like scaring the crap out of me. And then I just put it down and didn't pick it back up for some reason.
Well, you've mentioned it before though. You're not way, you know, too into that getting yourself creeped out stuff. So.
I'm not. And so... That has something to do with it, but it also seems like it's a really fat just FPS.
It is. It is. It actually is, too. Without all the creepiness, it's even just fun.
Yeah.
Just blowing stuff up.
But I set it down, I put it down and just never went back to it.
You need to take the day, the 2 days it's going to take you. I mean, just do it, you know?
Mm.
I know you haven't played a game in like 4 weeks, but...
Stupid anime!
I know. You just need to just break down and do it, I think. Now, this is the greatest goddamn quote. This quote came from Error. This was from the best game acquired and never played category. Listen to Error's little story about this here. I got lonely one night on EverQuest 2 and was searching the internet for a new game. I ended up listening to episode 30 and 31. That made me go out and buy Final Fantasy XI the next day. I tried to get into it, but with everyone way out-leveling me and not having friends, it just did not take off. I would have had really liked to be part of that back when everyone else was into it. And I must say, that game was the fucking shit. Particularly when we, you know, there was a whole bunch of us playing it, that, you know, we just met online, you know, and whatnot, and played, and I cannot recall, like, an overall better gaming experience practically in my lifetime than the fun that I had playing with everybody on Final Fantasy XI.
It's a very good game.
Seriously. I mean, game aside, the people. Right. Having that many people play that game together, and we were all just like, it's just a good group of people. We met some people in the game even, you know, that were just awesome people. And, I mean, it just blew my nuts off. Best hardware for the PC and or PC peripheral. This was such a bad idea on my part for categories. Everybody voted for something different. LCD monitors, Cytex X52 flight control system, Logitech optical gaming mouse. That was kind of a generic one, if you ask me. Logitech Denovo laser desktop, Xbox 360 wired controller, a hot plate for my coffee, battle stylus for the DS. That's actually probably notable. The Z-board, Logitech USB headset. I actually have one of those, and it kicks ass. Dual layer DVD-RW drives, I think. USB charger for the PSP or Game Boy. Creative Labs Sound Blaster X-Fi Elite Pro. That's a sound card that I hope doesn't suck major ass, but I'm pretty sure it does. The iTrip for your iPod. Ergo Board Pro Keyboard. RGB cable handmade by myself to play MAME games on an analog RGB monitor. Best hardware now. Cushion has. And then, okay, now the only thing here that got more than one vote was the thing that I chose as my number one pick, which blew my mind. And this is gonna, might shock a few people. This might just shock some people. It's the Xbox 360 wired controller. PC peripheral of the fucking year. The only thing Microsoft did right with the Xbox 360. I mean, well, just about it anyway. I think Xbox Live is a good thing too. Cushion says best PC hardware Xbox 360 controller only because you can basically plug the console controller into your USB port and it's all set without any adapters to order. The icing on the cake is that the 360 has the best controller out anyway, or is probably the best controller. Wait, yeah. The 360 has the best controller out anyway. And I believe it does. That controller is just fabulous, and it actually got 3 votes, not including mine. Our votes didn't count in these. Ours are separate. So it got 3 votes other than mine. My number 2 pick was the Logitech G15 keyboard. Okay? Sadly, I do not own one because of one thing that I consider to be a flaw in this thing. This keyboard lights up blue. The letters light up, not the whole key underneath it. It doesn't beam you. It's got an LCD that flips up, and it has, like, readouts of stuff. Like, go to, like, I think it's g15forums.com. Dude, people have made every possible little program you can imagine for this LCD.
That's cool.
It is awesome.
Like being able to see how much ammo you have while you're playing a game.
See processor usage. You can monitor your freaking downloads while you're doing it. You know, temperature readouts, hard drive, how full they are. Whatever you want, there's a program out there that utilizes the little LCD screen on this keyboard. It's about an $85 MSRP. And it's got a switch to disable the Windows key on it. I mean, this thing's beautiful. 3 different light settings, off, low, and high. It's a nice, soft blue glow. A lot better than the Cytec, Eclipse keyboard, which actually happens to be the one that I have. Basically because it's a hell of a lot cheaper, and it doesn't have what I consider to be a flaw on the G15. The G15 has a set of like 18 keys, macro keys, but they're on the left of your escape key. So where your keyboard would normally end, you now have a chunk, like another 10 key over there, basically, right? That doesn't fit on a lot of desks, and I cannot type having keys to the left of what should be the last key on my keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. But the keyboard is just mind-blowing. I mean, for a keyboard, it's a work of art.
My only problem with it is I have to have ergonomic.
Right.
My wrist, trying to type for more than, like, 15, 20 minutes on a regular keyboard, and my wrists go crazy.
Hopefully they'll make like a G17 and have it all twisted up for you weirdos to type correctly.
But the problem is with games, and I try to have to, if I have to reach like the 8 key, like Control 8, that's a bastard because it's all like broken.
Right, right.
So
yeah,
I have to use like the other hand, but that's my mouse hand.
That drives me nuts too. How the they're not spaced out the same like that too. Best console hardware or console peripheral: Guitar Hero 3, Nintendo, the Nintendo DS itself, the PlayStation Portable itself, the announcement of the Revolution controller, the Game Park 2X, the Game Boy Advance SP, the 2.0 version with the better screen, the Xbox 360 itself, the Xbox 360 wireless controller, not the wired one that swept the best PC category, the Vivanco automatic RGB switch box were the nominees. And Cushion here says best console hardware, the Nintendo DS, what many people, including myself, saw as a Game Boy with a gimmick dumber than the Virtual Boy, has become the most original hit in gaming in quite a long time. When other platforms wouldn't touch 2D games like Castlevania, the DS let them shine. Cutesy games like Nintendogs shouldn't have worked, but now they're raking in girlfriends and other non-gamers. And how about that Wi-Fi? I've never thought twice about Xbox Live or whatever PlayStation has, but knowing that I could plug a DS into my computer and instantly play Mario Kart with anyone in the world, that's what gaming is all about. The awesomeness of the DS just gives me a better feeling that Nintendo, the Revolution, and its weird controller will rule the world next year. Bravo, Cushion. And the actual runners-up here were the announcement of the Revolution controller. The Xbox 360 wireless controller was unmentionable because it is a fine fucking controller. It really is. And I think that they finally hit the nail on the head on this, and I had to make a special note of that. In fact, that should go in my my number two spot that I actually didn't fill in there. The Xbox 360, I only note because only one person voted for it as a secondary vote, but then somebody voted it as worst hardware.
So it's technically at -1 right now.
For points, yeah. Yeah. Technically, the Xbox 360 is a colossal flop, according to our little Game of the Year show here. But the number one spots tied... After a very tense, you should have seen us. We spent 5 hours going through these going, come on. There's three more for the Nintendo DS and the PlayStation Portable tied with the exact same number of points and I believe the same number of votes. Yep.
And even when we throw in our votes.
Right. I voted for the PSP.
And I voted for the Nintendo DS.
So I tell you what, you cannot go wrong picking up either of these two pieces of hardware.
I don't think so. For completely different reasons.
Right, right.
But I think they're both...
But you have to know what you want.
Yeah.
You have to know what you want. If you want to play a lot of games, get yourself a Nintendo DS. If you want to play a lot of old games... Yeah, new games. If you want to play a lot of old games, get yourself a PSP. If you want to be able to listen to music, you know, as an addition to that and watch video, that PSP is goddamn amazing. I can't leave the house without this stupid thing. I use it while I drive. It's some kind of nasty addiction. I walked to the store the other day just so I could use it to listen to music because I didn't feel like driving because it goes too long. Driving goes too fast and I want to spend some time, you know, I can't really drive very well on the medication, so I'm all dizzy and screwed up, so I walk, and I got the PSP there, it's fantastic. Most overused gimmick. First person shooters. Unskippable movie intros. This is like the bitch fest list here. This is everybody's complaints about today's games. The Bloom effect. Sequels. The iPod somehow made that list. I did not put that on there. I swear to God. OCD/collect-em-all type gameplay. Non-skippable tutorials that assume you're 4 years old. Blaming games for evil stuff. Here's looking at you, Jackie Thompson. High def. Movie games and game movies. Physics that have no gameplay value. EA fucking the 2K series. Basically, Electronic Arts buying out the
NFL license.
NFL thing. The Xbox 360. that's a gimmick. EA games overall. Shitty AI. Fantasy MMOs. Graphics replacing gameplay. Best game ever. 9.9/10 on IGN, GameSpot, and every other damn website. The prequel. That's a great one. Whoever voted for that, you're my fucking hero. The raw power of the PSP. Bullet time as the most overused gimmick. Not bullet time. Bullet time as the most overused gimmick is the most gimmicky.
Right.
Madden, all of them. Gangster rap and hip-hop culture. Bullet time itself. Multiplayer mode. Realism in games. You know those people. It's not realistic enough.
Right.
and console games. Here's looking at you, Zayfan. Now,
some of these don't quite fit.
Right, right. I know.
But some of the others are very good.
Yeah, some of these are just fantastic. Cushion has to say, most overused gimmick, Thug Life. This got a little played out in GTA San Andreas, but it was mostly believable due to the great voice acting. But now you get games like Narc and 187 Ride or Die just throwing bad urban references in to draw controversy. Not to mention little bits of thuggisms between thuggisms being thrown into unlicensed sports games. Add to this the new thugged out LA Rush, now with no ties to the great San Francisco Rush game, and rap games like the 50 Cent game, and you've got a trend worse than any amount of bloody fighting games or bouncing boobies. Exactly. That is absolutely terrible. And in fact, that goes down, actually that's in the top list. So the mentionables, let's see, yeah, unskippable movie intros. For fuck's sake, nothing makes me more angry than firing up a game and not wanting to sit through their little damn intro and I'm banging on my keyboard trying to skip it or they...
Specifically on consoles lately. You have to sit there and watch their little logo thing go by every time
you put the
disc in. And
then sit through a 20-minute intro of how your character walked up on the beach, you know, after getting knocked out. You're like, come on, let me play. That makes me angry. I was surprised in World of Warcraft that you can just skip the intro. I was surprised you could skip it. When you make your character and it has an intro, I got my dwarf, my human, and the night elf, I've never watched the intros for it. I was like, why? What am I? I don't care. I know what the game is. Kill stuff, get higher points, kill other people. You know, I don't care. I don't need to know. You know, it's just not that good of a game to sit and want to watch all that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I didn't need it. Bloom Effect, that made the cut here. Sequels is a real bad one. You know, they find something that sells, gotta make more. Yep. Gotta make more, gotta have 7 or 8. iPod gets a mention just because I hate it. Blaming games for evil stuff. That got really, really played out this year.
Yeah,
that got incredibly played out all over the damn news. Just destroyed all kinds of stuff. Movie games and games to movie. It hasn't worked very well, so stop trying to make it work all the time. Physics that have no gameplay value, that's a great one. You know, that whoever wrote that one in and pointed out.
Because they use a lot of system resources.
Oh my god, look, you can knock the can over off the table. Yeah. Dude, this game is going to be sick.
That took the programmer a lot of time. That takes the computer a lot of time and effort.
That's like
all for nothing.
What was that about the fear? Having the clocks that it keep accurate time or some shit and it just like was sucking up way too much resources? For Christ's sake. Thank God they got rid of that. Yeah. You know, I mean, Jesus. Bullet time as the most overused gimmick. I rethought my position too late on that. Because you know what? I think that bullet time was last year's gimmicky gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This year's winners, well, losers, I guess, was first-person shooters. That they got a few points. I can't say that's too gimmicky this year. Seems like for the years past, it's been way overboard. This year, I think it's MMOs.
Yeah.
That's what I gave mine to. Crappy MMOs. Everybody's got to have one.
There also hasn't been... How many of them have come out this year, though?
First-person shooters?
No, MMOs.
I don't know, but they're kind of all...
Crappy.
But I mean, like, they last longer than just the year they're out, too.
Right.
You know, and it seems like every company under the sun has announced an MMO.
There's a lot on the horizon, that's for damn sure.
You know, Horizons, Shadowbane, fucking Dungeons & Dragons Online. I'm gonna stick the fork in that one right now. You know, I'm telling you. You know, anyway, best game ever. Okay, 9.9, the 10.0 on IGN and GameSpot and all the big sites. That was a little too gimmicky because they were doing, you know, you get that a lot all of a sudden. Everything's the best game.
Well, yeah, and even if it's not the best game, they give all these movie games like 8.5s.
Yeah.
And like you turn around and try to play it and it's like, oh my god.
I can't believe somebody played this. Gangster rap games and hip-hop culture, actually, that was the number two. And Bullet Time actually did come in at number one as the most overused gimmick.
This is also, it's been what people have called the most overused gimmick for like 6 years running now.
No, maybe, since maybe The Matrix.
Yeah.
So, has
ever
it been
since,
that long?
Ever since
I
was in high school.
It's been a long time. Holy shit. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess so. But
and
I gave
ever,
mine...
Ever since everybody goes, oh, Bullet Time. So I have to agree with the guy that says Bullet Time is
as
being
the,
called
right.
the biggest gimmick. Anyway, you give yours.
And yeah, basically, I said Bullet Time also. And I didn't really think it through. I'm just used to complaining about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my second one was MMOs. Crap MMOs being shoveled out the door just to rake in the money.
Yeah, that is a problem. Because it's getting oversaturated and etc. Mine was Bloom. Bloom in very small amounts can be a very great thing. It does wonders to making graphics look better.
Mm-hmm.
But they overuse the ever-loving hell out of it.
Yeah.
And everything turns all like this white, ghosty, weird, just look.
It doesn't
to it.
Look right.
Yeah.
No.
You get too much Bloom going and it's just terrible. I mean, there's some certain scenes in Fable, a good example from last year, but
uh-huh.
that is way overboard on the Bloom.
Yeah. Microsoft is really famous with that. They even they fake added Bloom to screenshots of Amped before it came out. Remember?
Mm.
They had photoshopped Bloom effects into Amped that weren't actually in the game on their promo screenshots. You know, I mean, this is how bad it is. Okay.
Yeah, but Bloom, as far as I'm concerned, it can go the hell away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
annoying.
Worth the hassle. It's becoming.
Scyther, his quote on this was great. He had 15 choices for most annoying gimmicks. Choice number one, NFL Madden 1992. Choice number two, NFL Madden 1993. Choice number... anyway, it went on to choice number 15, NFL Madden 2006. We got a little chuckle out of that one. Best free... You know, the streams are getting cut off about now. It's been about an hour and a half.
Seriously?
Yeah, I know, huh? And we're like...
Oh, my God.
About halfway through these notes. So this is going to go a lot longer than I thought. Yeah.
We're not halfway.
Shh, I'm telling myself we're about halfway. Best free or commercial independent game. The nominees were something called Live for Speed, S2, PopCap 7Cs, Every Extend, Arwenia, Break Quest, Gearhead Arena, Grow Cube, EVE Online, something called Web Sudoku, go there, WEBSUDOKU.com, not you.
Oh, okay.
Samidare, 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 probably. Some crazy Japanese shit that I'm pronouncing incredibly wrong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that came from a
Fuchikoma, yeah. And Trizeal for the Dreamcast. And let's see here. Oh, yeah, and Rybo's pick. He says you're cock. Because he says up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, BA, select, start, always equals the good ending. But unfortunately, that did not make the cut. In fact, there was only two that actually made shit on this list,
mm-hmm.
and one was Live for Speed S2, and the other one was Darwinia. Apparently pretty popular games. They got the most votes, the same amount, and I actually didn't play anything that would fall into that category.
I've played a few, like, Java games and PopCap games, that sort of thing, and so I went ahead and threw in with whoever said 7Cs, because I actually enjoyed that one quite a bit.
Okay.
A lot of fun, but I'm going to have to try out a couple of these others that these people are talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, definitely. And White Chamber isn't on this list, and I don't know why not.
I tried playing that game. There was just something not quite right about it. I don't know.
I'm surprised that Zayfan, though, the one who brought it to our attention and played the crap out of it, must have just slipped his mind when he was making his list. Best compilation... Guilty Gear. Oh, this was from Fuchikoma. This one doesn't quite count though, because it's music. It meant game, not music. Guilty Gear XX, the original soundtrack. Street Fighter 20th Anniversary Edition. Now, to save my life, I cannot remember what year that came out, so it's making the cut. Okay. Namco Museum Battle Collection for the PSP. Sonic Gems Collection. The GTA Trilogy for the Xbox. Capcom Collection, because of Mega Man, Vampire Darkstalkers Collection, no stateside release, Final Fantasy Dawn of Souls, Taito Memories Jukan, and Taito Memories Gekken, and Neverwinter Nights Diamond. Those were the nominees for Best Compilation. And Cushion says, the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Pack for Xbox GTA 3 is a modern classic. Vice City is a solid and deeper sequel, and even though it gets grating after a while, San Andreas has shitloads of side missions to make it feel like 50 games in one. Not to mention that this pack basically contains a little over a year's worth of gaming if you try to complete all three games. And if your experience is anything like mine, I was so caught up in Vice City when I finally beat it, the next day I sat down in front of my PS2 like I just got fired from a job. What the fuck do I do now? That's awesome. I haven't had that feeling in a number of years. I remember playing, like, God, dude, the first time I played through Final Fantasy VI, when I was done with that, I was like, I think I'm done with gaming. I don't know what else to do with myself now. So, let's see. The mentionables here were Street Fighter 20th Anniversary Edition. I had a couple of votes for it. And I wanted to point out Neverwinter Nights, the Diamond Pack. Because it's actually, I mean, the Diamond Pack itself is pretty nice because it's so damn cheap. And you get everything they have for it except for this Tales of the Sword Coast module. But that freaking game, you could probably play until the day you die. I mean, there is so much stuff, you know, with, like, the modules and stuff, and they don't all suck. They're pretty cool.
Right.
The stuff they've added, and the fact of the matter is that basically it gives you the toolset to create your own world. That is dope, and it's easy to use, you know, with no reading and mess, you know, no nothing. You can just kind of sit down and fool with it and still come up with something that, you know, that works
right.
So that you can run through it, and then from there, you know, learn how to do it properly and all, but it's pretty awesome. The Aurora toolset is amazing, and for $20, there is no better place to spend your $20, as far as I'm concerned, particularly if you're looking for something that has quantity.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of shit there. And Street Fighter 20th Anniversary Edition, it's Street Fighter 2. It's all of them in one. It's kind of like all the chicks you've ever dreamed of together at the same time. And you can mix and match them however you see fit. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And unfortunately, it didn't make the top cut. The top best compilation, hands down, by a freaking landslide, it looks like, come to think of it,
mm-hmm.
is Final Fantasy Dawn of Souls, the Final Fantasy 1 and 2 for the Game Boy Advance. Which, God, I wish I'd played it. I really do, but it's like, you know what? I played the first one a long time ago. I've got the Origins pack now, you know, and it's got them on it also. And I'm sitting at home most of the time to play that kind of thing. And if I'm not, that's what I've got a PSP for.
Right.
I can still play them, neener, neener, neener. And that's what's awesome about it. But my pick did go to Neverwinter Nights Diamond and the Street Fighter 20th Anniversary.
But it was Dawn of Souls where they really, like, polished off and upgraded the graphics a little bit.
Yeah. They did a really nice job on it. It was finally like a full-on upgrade to the game, you know? Like they did with, what was that one where they redid all the stuff? God damn, I can't think of what the hell. They bumped up the, it was like the, oh yeah, Origins. It was Origins on the PS1.
Mm.
It's like that, but packed into the Game Boy.
Right.
So absolutely worth every dime. Absolutely worth it. That's RPG fun, anyway, if you like RPGs. Best action game. The nominees, 50 Cent's Bulletproof, you've got to be kidding me, Mercenaries, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Gun, Blood Rain, that's probably Blood Rain 2, SOCOM 3, Moonlit Farewell, God of War, Devil May Cry 3, Dante's Awakening, and Resident Evil 4. Cushion had to say, best action game, God of War. When it came to action this year, God of War wins hands down. When a group of 6 to 10 soldiers come at you and you mow them down with a bloody awesome-looking combo that makes you feel like the fucking man, what more needs to be said? Bonus points goes to the basically original story and the minigames thrown in along the way. The mentionables here for number of votes was Mercenaries, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, but the Kings with lose. Oh my God! 1 point off God of War.
Very close.
That was that, yeah. 1 point off. Okay, God of War takes second place. Edging it out is Resident Evil 4. Beating God of War by 1 point. And it actually looks like it was one person who dropped the ball on that, too.
Yeah, one person decided it was their second pick.
Yeah. Now, I actually didn't really play that, what I would consider... Wait, yeah, to be an action... I was torn between placing my adventure in my action or adventure category, and I wound up putting it with adventure instead of action. So I really didn't play what I would consider to be like a really good action game this year, and there was just nothing there. But based on everything I've heard, Resident Evil 4 probably would have been just the game to play, even though I played the demo for God of War and enjoyed it. So I don't know, between those two, it's a tough call. You may as well get them both. They're going to be cheaper here pretty soon. It's been a while. They got the special edition of Resident Evil 4 out there. Fantastic games.
I was borrowing God of War from a friend, and so I didn't get to play it too terribly far, but I got a lot farther than the demo, and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're the fucking man.
One of the guys at work, like, cut his hair all just like your character. Like, he got way into that game. He comes into work and he's like, I am the God of War. And he was just, I don't, like, for like a week or two, and I was like, God damn it, man. He cut his goatee all like that and everything. I was like, holy shit. He was loving that game. So this game has definitely got something behind it. The quote we've got here from Ribo Kratos, or whatever his name is, Kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S, is a bad motherfucker. He's a new breed of bad motherfuckers. He can burn fuel more efficiently, has a longer warranty, and comes standard with big sweaty muscles, tattoos, and woody diatribe. He can kill you 5 times before you hit the ground. Thank you, Random Simpsons quote. And guess what? He's not afraid of you, motherfucker. The best adventure game for 2005, the nominees were Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, Zelda the Minish Cap, Myst 5 End of Ages, Leisure Suit Larry Collection, Shadow of the Colossus, Champions Return to Arms, Fable, The Lost Chapters, and Cowboy Bebop Limited Edition Box Set for the PS2, the Japanese-only release. There was no action game or adventure game here for Mr. Cushion. So, the runner-up... No, there wasn't one. Yes, there was. Shadow of the Colossus. That was second place. The number one game, best adventure game of 2005, hands down, without a doubt, almost double the points of number two, Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow.
And I agree.
Yeah, I have a quote for that in here somewhere, but it's further down, and it would apply very, very well up there. And I think I actually put it down below into here. I'm going to do it now. Okay, so this is from Mocker. I actually intended this to go somewhere else, but I didn't know where I wanted it, so I put it in the notes anyway. It's from Mocker. Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow. 50 hours put into a game that you can beat in less than 10. Now, that's replay value for you. 50 hours into a game, 5 days after you got it, that's a fucking amazing game. I've done pretty much everything possible in this game. I even spent a few hours on glitches. This game just absorbs you and won't let you go until you're finished. Definitely a game I'll be coming back to as the years go on. This game is just, I've heard nothing but amazing things, and...
It's a blast.
That was your pick.
Yep.
That was your adventure game of the year. I had to fall on something I did play because I did enjoy the hell out of it. It was Champions Return to Arms, and I was surprised somebody else voted for it. I didn't think that would get any mention but from me. And I'll tell you what, I have like a level 74 warrior, okay? And you can beat that game or barbarian, and then like a 30-something else and a 40-something else and another 30. And this game you can beat with like a level 18 dude,
mm-hmm.
right? And I kept playing and kept playing.
And you play over again.
The same shit.
Now, in order to raise your levels.
In his defense, there's two paths you can take, good or evil.
Can you switch after you've already made the character?
I believe so. Well, you make your choice in the beginning and you go down that path. But once you start like the next level of difficulty, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure you can pick again. I got confused because I had like 5 characters I was playing.
Right.
You know, because I was just getting way too into it, you know. I would go farm shit with my burly dude, transfer it to a mule, give it to some newer dudes so they could have some kick-ass weapons. I played the fuck out of that game for like 2 weeks. I mean, it was sick. It was disgusting.
And Return to Arms was nice because you had a lot of extra optional, those little things along the side. Like you have the main quest and those extra bubbles on the teleportation map where you could do...
Oh, right, all the extra little games and shit. Yeah, yeah. What it was like little, can you beat this mob in that zone? Or can you do this in this amount of... You know what I mean? It was like a little minigame kind of crap like that. Yeah, I forgot all about that. This game was actually just, I don't know, a blast. And now it's like $20. And as far... It's kind of like Diablo with a controller. You know, it's a blast. This game is a hell of a lot of fun. I haven't played anything better than it in a long... Well, since, I don't think. I don't think I've... I like it better than all the other ones I've played like it. Diablo, Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance. This game is the shit. Best first-person shooter, Battlefield 2 Retail, Battlefield 2 Demo, Fear, Call of Duty 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Quake 4, Doom 3 for the Xbox, Half-Life 2, Ghost Recon 2, Sniper Elite, Halo 2, Fable the Last Chapters when you're in archery mode, and Unreal Championship 2. I thought that was a third-person game, though, but I think it switched in and out. Oh, and Bet on Soldier. Now...
It's only third-person when you're doing the melee stuff.
Oh, okay. That's what it is, then. Opposite of what I thought, then. Best first-person shooter, Doom 3 on the Xbox from Cushion here. I'm picking Xbox Doom 3, but based on the following, I don't play PC games, so games like Fear and Call of Duty 2 were out of the running for me. With that in mind, Doom 3 on the Xbox was about as good as a console FPS gets. Tight and logical controls, good sounding graphics, and most of the suspense left in from the PC version. Bonus points since you can pick this up in one of three flavors, original, collector's edition with Doom 1 and 2, or the expansion, for about $20 a piece. The mentionables here were Call of Duty 2, got a couple of votes, even though I've heard incredibly bad things about that game. Half-Life 2 got a couple of votes, and I wanted to mention, okay, well, the second place game was the Battlefield, was Battlefield 2.
and that's not saying much, though.
No, it's not. The demo even got a vote against the retail. And the thing is if it came down, I would throw my hat in with the demo crowd. I loved the shit out of the demo. I played it every day for 10 days. Mm-hmm. The retail game came out. I bought it on release day, played it for 10 hours, and could not stand it. Never touched it again. It sat here.
That tells you something about how well they did with the demo.
Yeah, it was like they had everything flawless. It was one map you got to play, that was it. And it was just like the good map or something, you know? And I don't know, it was just, and there was no lag, it was just flawless. I was pretty good with it. You get on there in the retail and you've got all kinds of things were different. It just wasn't the same game, it felt like. It was really bizarre. And I ended up selling it the other day to some dude for $25.
Really?
He was going to buy it, and I was like, you know, I'll sell you mine for $25. It's brand fucking new. It has 10 hours on it. You know? And he had a nightmare trying to get it to run, by the way, because he had a DVI cable hook up to his monitor, and it wouldn't, I don't know, it took him like 3 days to get it to even run. It was crazy. I didn't have those problems with it, but that game, God, it pissed me off so bad. The number one best first-person shooter, 2005, got the most number of votes, the highest points of any game in our entire thing today.
Yeah, it doesn't even
It was
match
a landslide. It destroyed the game
category
of the year. Yeah, every other category dwarfed hard by the first-person shooter of the year. First Encounter Assault Recon creamed everything. I give it my vote for best first-person shooter of the year.
I do, too.
He's laughing at my notes because I wrote Fajir. yeah, this game, just, it was, you know, you lock yourself in your house alone. You get the lights off. I was creeping myself out hard. I mean, it was just awesome. And there's moments, there's memorable moments in that. It's quiet. I'm sneaking through the, you know, someplace. The lights get shut off. Dudes are rushing the room and they're yelling and they're screaming. I'm in the dark so I can't see where I'm going. I bump into like a can or something. And it makes a noise and the enemies are like, over there, did you hear that? There's a noise. Shut the fuck up, I can't hear anything. Where is he? This game kicked my ass. The end of it was something that I've always wanted to happen at the end of a video game.
Yeah, you said that a couple times. And I, like, have to play it now just so I see what the hell
I've never
about
played a game that ends, like not, it's not the ending, it's the part before the ending that I've never had happen in this manner before. I'm essentially talking about the end of the last level. The boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
I've never experienced this in a game this way, and I've always wanted it to happen before. And it finally did in this, and I don't want to say because I'm going to blow it.
Right.
And it's not spectacular. People are going to be underwhelmed. They're going to be like, that's what he was so excited about. It's just that I've never fucking seen it happen.
And you wanted to, and all of a sudden, poof,
and,
there
and
it
then,
was.
Yeah. It just jumped up in an already just fantastic game. It just kind of happened. And I was like, wow, that was what I wanted. And I'm satisfied with this. All right. You know? I was digging it. I hope that this game carries on. They need, you know, they came out with the mod thing a little bit ago for it. You know, the SDK for it so you can make your shit. I want to see an expansion pack or something, too, because I'm all over this, you know? Plus, you had the collector's edition that had the videos and all that. Turns out that is the version I have. I didn't actually realize that. Remember Zayfan asked us? Yeah, and I was like, no, I didn't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen no videos. Yeah. I still haven't watched them. I need to. And best fighting game, Street Fighter 2 20th Anniversary Edition, Soul Calibur 3, Guilty Gear X 2 or XX, I guess, for the PC. I didn't even know that was out. Dead or Alive Ultimate, because of the Jigglies. Dead or Alive 4. Ragdoll Kung Fu. Darkstalkers Chronicles. Neo Geo Battle Coliseum. Rumblefish. And Ribo throws in a vote for Soul Tekken Calibur 8. Fuck 3D, 2D for life, bitches. Cushion says best fighting game, Soul Calibur 3. This category was pretty much a landslide for Soul Calibur 3 since no other fighting games came out this year, with the exception of maybe Capcom or King of Fighters compilation. But even if another Mortal Kombat or Tekken game came out this year, Soul Calibur 3 still would have won. It had familiar characters with a few solid new ones added, tons of unlockables, a non-linear single-player mode, created character, and even pseudo-RTS using created characters. While I'll admit the RTS is mostly pointless, the load times are long, and the AI switches from brain dead to Zen master rather inconsistently, I find myself going back for more to unlock that one last thing. Oh, and in case Kobar forgot, the easy button is L2. You know, this game was a landslide. Our runners-up were basically a joke. It basically had two people mention it. Was Guilty Gear XX for the PC. Soul Calibur 3 took every vote, as a matter of fact. Soul Calibur 3, and it was still only 2/3 of the votes, maybe a little bit less, than what Fear got even. Okay. I was gonna throw in with the Street Fighter 2 20th anniversary crowd, but I swear to God that was last year. I just can't remember.
I do too, I think.
Yeah, I'm almost certain it was. But otherwise, Soul Calibur 3 was the shit.
Yeah, you know, they could not have picked a better time to send it out, because what did they have going up against them? I mean, any single person that liked fighting games picked this game up.
You had to.
Yeah.
You had to, and it wasn't a bad thing either, though. You know, a lot of the times, like in the Madden case, you know, you have to buy Madden if you're gonna play football. That's a bad thing. In this case, it was a good thing. It's a good damn game.
But it was just really nice for them that they had absolutely no competition.
Absolutely. A sip from my tasty beverage. Okay. Best platform game. The nominees were Mario Kart 64 for the DS, Sonic Rush, Jumper 2, the fuck is that? Sly Cooper 3 Honor Among Thieves, Conker Live and Reloaded, Kirby's Canvas Curse, and Shadow of the Hedgehog. The mentionables, I guess, here would kind of be Conker Live and Reloaded. A fantastic premise for a game. You've got a drunken squirrel that pisses on things and curses a lot. How sweet is that? You know? Plus, Rare did an outstanding job on the graphics and the gameplay for this game. Even the first time around, it was a great game. And Sly Cooper 3 is just a license to print gold. Sly Cooper is a fantastic series. However, the games that actually won this category was Kirby's Canvas Curse and Mario 64 for the DS.
What?
Yeah. Amazing games. From everything I've heard about Kirby, it's pretty amazing. I've actually got my hands on Mario Kart 64 for the DS and dicked around with it because I didn't need to go through it again. I've already gone through it plenty of times on the Nintendo 64 itself. But that game is timeless. It's just, you know, you can play that forever. It's just fantastic.
And there's also some differences from the N64 version.
You got a map, too.
There's a map, and you can play as other characters stuff like that. But it's all about Kirby's Canvas Curse.
Yeah.
That game is a lot of fun, and it's very different. That's what really does it.
Right.
Because it's very different, and it does it well. And that's the formula for success, if you ask me.
Right, absolutely. I have to go the safe route with Sly. They're fantastic games. I love them. I love them to death. They're incredibly fun. I like everything about them. They're just great, and they're new. I didn't want to go with Mario 64. I mean, the game is just amazing. I've made that clear. The DS version, I think, maybe doesn't quite feel as good.
I have played both. My household owns the DS version.
Right.
The N64 version is better.
Okay.
It's just better holding that controller.
Right.
It's just everything about it was just more, like,
correct.
There.
Right,
yeah.
Right. They designed a whole fucking controller around playing that game anyway,
yeah.
So yeah, better have been. Best racing game. The nominees were Mario Kart DS, Live for Speed S2, Gran Turismo 4, Richard Burns' Rally, Burnout 3, / Legends. It was actually Burnout Legends. I got a vote. Burnout Revenge, Ridge Racer for the PSP, Juiced for the Xbox, Wipeout Pure, Need for Speed, Black Edition. Cushion says, best racing game, Burnout Revenge, while not nearly as addicting as Burnout 3 for obvious reasons, loading, crash event, rev up meter, crazy menus, Revenge wins because no other racing game gives me the fix of screaming through traffic at 210 miles an hour and plowing everything in sight. And it does do a goddamn good job at that. That game really does.
And I played it, I think we mentioned the episode before or the one before that, that I was playing it and really liked it.
Yeah, right.
It's good stuff.
However, it came in second place with nearly only a third of the points as the number one game. Gran Turismo came in third, Ridge Racer for the PSP fourth, Live for Speed fifth. The number one racing game, as voted on by the listeners, though, with perfect scores across the board, by the way, Mario Kart DS, which we both also voted for as king of Kart Mountain.
Oh, yeah, and it's sitting in my DS as we speak.
Right this moment. Best puzzle game winner goes to... Oh, I didn't put the little quote there. Yes, I did. WS Ninja. Okay. Mr. Driller, Luminous, Trace Memory, that Web Sudoku thing again, WebSudoku.com, and Meteos. I didn't play any puzzle games this year. Not really.
Yeah. I played and loved the hell out of Trauma Center, Under the Knife. That's pretty much a puzzle game. It's a little different than the whole Luminous and Meteos and Tetris.
Like a standard kind of puzzle game.
It's not quite that kind of puzzle game, but it basically is a puzzle game, and it was awesome. Just a load of fun.
Nice. Now, WS Ninja's quote, "Fuck puzzle games. If there's no princess to save or a world to save, what the fuck am I doing here besides wasting time?" Amen, brother. But wasting time isn't always bad if you're having fun. Best role-playing game. Nominees. Mario & Luigi 2 Partners in Time. Shadow Hearts Covenant. Fable the Lost Chapters. Dragon Quest VIII. Xenosaga 2. Jade Empire 3. Magna Carta. And Gearhead Arena. Now, best role-playing game. Second place goes to Xenosaga 2. Which I dearly wish I played. I need to buy that the next time I see that, because I kind of forgot it existed. I loved the shit out of the first one, and the second one slipped under the radar. I was playing fucking EverQuest at the time, you know?
Well, and everybody said it sucked.
They said it was the same game. They didn't say it sucked, they said we played this before when it was Xenosaga 1. Everything I heard, they said we just went through 40 hours of this.
Right.
But I had a hell of a fun time, so I'd like to do it again. That was a second place game with not very many votes.
No.
As, like, almost as few as possible. As is Fable, come to think. I just didn't see that. The Lost Chapters. I didn't mark it on the notes, but it's there. Number one game. Role-playing game. 2005. Dragon Quest VIII.
Oh.
You have to buy it. And this thing kicked everything's ass.
Yep.
Okay.
That's another one of those landslide ones.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to go buy this. Like, when the numbers are skewed that bad, you need to go buy this game. Okay, that's just simply put. I actually did not play a single-player role-playing game that I can think of.
Yeah, that's...
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
I've been playing these stupid-ass MMORPGs for the last year. Now, the only single-player game I played was Neverwinter Nights Diamond. It's got some damn cool things about it. Just don't play a damn rogue. Okay? Or a mage. You gotta play a fighter. That's just all there is to it. And it's a blast. Crowbar is here. Actually voted for.
I voted for Dragon Quest VIII.
The top game. I gotta play this fucking game, man. I gotta get over this trying to prove the WoW sucks crap or something, or actually find out if there is something fun there crap about WoW and actually play this game, because I can't stop hearing. My buddy, Ref, called me the other day. He's got a friend who doesn't speak English who's playing Dragon Quest VIII because it's so much fun. Yeah. Okay.
He can't even understand the
story. He doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. He has no idea.
But it's still that cool.
But he's playing it, and he's like, I'm going to beat this game. He speaks Spanish, but not English. And he's like, I'm going to beat this game. I don't know, but it's hella fun. I don't know what's going on, but it's fun. Okay? So how fucking crazy is that? And he can do the quest because he, like, remembers, like, their names and, like, recognizes people.
Right.
You know, so he can somehow get through it. It's crazy. Now, we have quite a few quotes on the best role-playing game category here, because that's a lot of what we do around here. Ribo chimes in with, finally someone gets it right. Oh, this is about Dragon Quest VIII. Old school gameplay? Check. Beautiful graphics? Check. Interesting characters? Check. Big-breasted anime babe? Double check. Great, Ribo. Silly, but fun voice acting? Yep, yep, and yep. This is the kind of RPG you play until 3 in the morning, just trying to get one more level before you go to bed. Hades with Dragon Quest VIII. It's such a nod back to its history and proves that even today the classic formula still works great. I love this game and I'm enjoying every minute of it. Don't be put off because of Dragon Warrior 7. Take all the bad things from 7 and throw them out and add the good stuff. This game is fun. And Mocker for Shadow Hearts Covenant with, where did this game disappear to? I was expecting you guys to be all over this. Hopefully some of you played it because it's one of the best RPGs I have played in years, and even though it is technically from 04, I had to include it in my list since I didn't play it until 2005 anyway. And it's interesting because I remember when this was coming out, looked really good. Something happened, and I just didn't care anymore.
I have wanted to play this game since I saw it, and somehow I just have not been able to pick it up. Like, something better was along, or I didn't have the money, or one thing or another.
How is it that happens?
I don't know.
We know what games are good, and we keep playing crap. Remember, where was the category of the games that we... Remember, there was, like, somehow I avoided everything that was
right.
Great?
You're right, it was a...
Games, Vapor, no, Never Played.
Right.
Had but Never Played? I don't remember if it was, yeah, I even had some, no, it was the ones I didn't have and didn't play, and some of the ones I do have and didn't play.
Right.
How do I play crap? This is so fucked up. Anyway, best MMORPG, oh no, this one's gonna cause a freaking war here. Okay, the nominees, Final Fantasy XI. City of Villains / City of Heroes, Anarchy Online, Guild Wars, Ultima Online with a fuck you guys from Zayfan written in there, World of Warcraft, EverQuest 2, and a 3-town server for NWN, oh, and Bankrupt with Animal Crossing Wild World. Now,
however that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't make the cut. The Neverwinter Nights 3-town server didn't make the cut. Ultima Online is not even a possibility. Guild Wars didn't make the cut. But, see, I happen to know a few of our listeners are absolutely hooked on this now, and these results would definitely be different. Anarchy Online didn't make the cut. City of Villains, City of Heroes didn't make the cut. World of Warcraft... Wait. EverQuest 2 came in third place. World of Warcraft came in second place, and I'm blaming Chias for this one. Because he didn't vote.
Mr. Modem.
Mr. Modem, where were you on that, buddy? Because his vote would have swung it just enough to beat out Final Fantasy XI from the number one spot.
Yep.
All because he was too lazy to log in, which he probably already is anyway, and type, wow. He could have swung the vote, and he didn't do it. Now, I wrote, you know, Final Fantasy XI, because it still nags me.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in my brain that this game is just that much fun. As flawed as it was, the game was just fabulous. There was just too many things that broke it for me, which is why I quit. But as long as you don't make the same mistakes I did, basically picking certain classes, this game is just nuts. It's just that good. My second pick for Best MMORPG was World of Warcraft. Now, this was before I played it, mind you. This was the second time around, because remember, this list was done beforehand.
Yeah.
And the reason I put that on there, this game is undeniably the most popular game out there right now.
Mm-hmm. It has whatever it needs for success.
Exactly. And while it may not even be the game itself that is that great, you know, it may not be the graphics, it may not be the controls, it may not be the sound, it may not be whatever it is, the fact that I see people all day long, gamers and non-gamers, they have that little sparkle in their eye.
Mm-hmm.
That they're off in some fantasy world slaying a dragon somewhere. You know, that moves me. You know, that's what keeps me alive, basically, is that knowing that there's people out there saving the world in their head every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what keeps me sane, really, is that I'm just as insane as some of these people, you know? and to see a game touch that many people, this game deserves that award. And now remember, I wrote this hating this game right. Still. Loathing this, okay? EverQuest 2, it bit the dust. I blame Mr. John Smedley for that. You fucked up an otherwise decent enough game.
Mm-hmm.
because you were too afraid to stand on your own. And I think you tried, just, you know, it was
didn't
just,
have the testicular fortitude.
Exactly. Exactly. It just, you know, you bent over and you let WoW stick it to you. I think that's what fucked you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you ruined your game. I mean, that's not my third place. That's my worst MMORPG. I mean, they fucked it up. It went from best to worst just like that because of patches.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I picked a tie between WoW and Guild Wars. And I did this because, WoW has, like you said, the recipe for success. Whether, no matter what I have to say about
you
it.
You said that.
What?
You said the recipe for success.
Right, but that's why you put it down.
People. Right.
That's the reason.
Oh, okay, right.
It just has what it takes to be a popular game. And Guild Wars has, although a lot of things that I don't quite understand why they did it that way.
Yeah.
It has a lot of things that I myself would put in an MMO. It has a lot of really, really good ideas. And so, it gets on my list.
Okay. Fair enough. And I know that would have got a lot more votes now.
Is your quote messed up? I think it's on my page. On the next page.
What happened? Am I missing something? Oh, it did. It got cut off.
Yeah, it's right there.
There was a line here. This was from Hades. Yeah. I still love Final Fantasy XI. They're still introducing... How did you know that happened?
Because it's on my... notes.
Oh, it's on the bottom of the other page. There we go. Alright, this was from the MMORPG category, Hades, with Yeah, I still love Final Fantasy XI. They're still introducing lots of new content every 2 months, and have another interesting expansion pack with more areas and a couple new jobs on the horizon. I've been playing this fucking game for 2 years, it has to have something good.
Mm-hmm.
The best sports game. You know what? I'm not even doing that fucking category. Best strategy game.
Let's just say that was just a whole bunch of jokes.
Yeah, it was basically ripping into a certain company.
Yeah.
Best strategy game. The nominees were Advance Wars Dual Strike, Civ 4, Silent Hunter 3, Blitzkrieg 2, Rome Total War Barbarian Invasion, Age of Empires 3, and Metal Gear Acid. Christian had nothing to say until worst and best, so we're done with him. The runners-up looks like second place went to Advance Wars, third went to Rome Total War Barbarian Invasion. Number one game, this should come as no surprise if you heard me read the nominees, Civilization IV. I mean, I know people that damn near got kicked out of college, you know, for Civ 2. You know, I mean, these games are incredibly popular. They're nice. Mm-hmm. I can't get behind them, but those that do get incredibly hooked.
I was never big into Civilization, and there's things about Civ 4 that I understand even less.
I know, huh?
Because you can just turn everything on auto.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't even need to play a game anymore.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that.
It's like paying somebody to play your MMO account. I don't get that at all. Why the fuck would you pay somebody to level you up? What hey, the shit?
Play the game for me. I'm paying for the game.
I'm going to pay for the game. I'm going to pay the monthly fee, and I'm going to pay you to play. Wait. That sounds like my kind of job. I'm in the wrong line of work here. All right. Now, I did not have a best strategy game, okay? Basically, there was no Heroes of Might and Magic 5. There was no Warcraft 4. There was no Enfos remake that, you know, just kicked my ass. There was nothing out there that just blew my mind, you know?
Advance Wars Dual Strike was quite decent.
Advance Wars, I cannot stand it. I hate the Advance Wars series because I don't like their play style bothers me. It seems nice because it's so simple. You know, there's the red team and the blue team, and you've got all the same units, essentially, and it just seems beautiful. Unfortunately, the AI is what just ruins that game for me. Multiplayer, it's the bomb. But I don't play with anybody, so...
I really, really wish I had played Fire Emblem for the GameCube.
Oh, God, I know.
So I could have said whether that belongs there or not.
Yeah, I know.
But I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Me neither. That's a bummer. I really do love strategy games. I cannot, like...
Fire Emblem is awesome.
I I don't know, like, okay, Heroes of Might and Magic is different. I have never played a turn-based strategy game that's any good, other than that, well, you know, Master of Orion 2 was good. Or maybe it was the first one I was playing. Must have been 2. Yeah, you know, but it wasn't Heroes of Might and Magic. It's not that series, minus excluding 1 and 4, pretty much. 2 and 3 were the shit.
Right.
But, like, Warcraft 3, I get hooked on that. You know, I played the crap out of StarCraft. Age of Empires 1 and 2, I played the living fuck. I love these kind of games. Hasn't been any ones that I like lately. Age of Empires 3, I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Civ doesn't count for me. I can't stand it. I cannot get behind some of these games, you know? And I hate to say it, I didn't actually try Rome Total War. I didn't like the way it looked. I wrote that one off from the start. Screenshots just turned me off, and I said, this is just not going to do it for me. Not fantasy enough for the most part, though, I think. You know, that's why I tend to lean towards, like, you know, Warcraft and Starcraft and shit like that.
Well, and that's why we have...
That doesn't explain Age of Empires 2, though. I was insanely hooked on that fucking game. But, you know, realism aside, that just had the gameplay I needed, you know, and that it delivered. Now, worst game... These are the two best categories. This is why you're here, okay, if you're still here for whatever reason, if you felt like to punish yourself. Worst game of the year. Nominees. Snood 2. Doom 3. Star Wars Galaxy's Starter Pack, because of the price. Star Wars Galaxy's NGE, whatever the fuck, that was the expansion, I don't know what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Need for Speed Most Wanted, Quake 4, Rengoku, The Tower of Purgatory, Coded Arms, Psychonauts, God of War, how the hell does that make worst game of the year? Dark Watch, Civilization 4, Age of Empires 3, The Sims 2, Evil Dead Regeneration, Path of Neo, Sprung, Nemesis Strike, Shadow of the Hedgehog, EverQuest 2, Bet on Soldier, Pro Cycling Manager, Battlefield 2, Retail, Midway Arcade Treasures 3, and any Electronic Arts game. And that was not fair, because, you know, they're kind of responsible for Burnout. So, Cushion says, worst game of the year goes to Dark Watch. This was the one that I was really impressed with the demo, because I had the train hijack scene.
Yeah, the vampire Old West thing
right,
going.
Right, vampire cowboy dude, right. Now, I've played plenty of shitty licensed games with my six-year-old nephew this year. Pick any Star Wars game, I've played it. But hands down, this shitty first-person shooter was the worst. Mainly because its theme, a vampire western, sounds very original, but the execution was crap. Blah graphics, clunky controls, getting sucked into walls, an error screen on startup. All ways to kill a game. Nothing worse than that. Okay, except maybe those shitty Nickelodeon games. Now, worst game of the year, let's see, the ones that got some points were... Wow.
It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, this was. Basically, there was two games that everybody hated the most. Number two was Rengoku, The Tower of Purgatory for the PSP. The number one, and this is sweet fucking victory here, okay? Number one worst game of 2005, Quake 4. I am so pleased, right? Because this category was you're right, I mean, it was all over. There was no, like, clear-cut shitty game for everybody, but there was one that shone through, like the turd out of the toilet reaching into the night sky. Quake 4, you heaping pile of shit. I would not feed you to my dog. Oh, no, I lied.
You hear that, Zephan?
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I lied. Battlefield 2 got second place. I didn't see it on the second page.
Yeah.
Battlefield 2, another heaping pile of steaming. Retail. Battlefield 2 retail. Okay, now, a quote from RoboChristian, because you did hear me mention Shadow the Hedgehog on the nominees list. Look, Sonic characters should not be in cars doing drive-bys. You lose, Sonic Team. You lose hard. Best game of the year.
Oh, my,
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, we didn't even do ours. Right.
I picked Burnout for the DS.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a...
Craptacular.
Really bad game. But what makes it shine out overall is because it comes from a family of such really good games.
Right. That's exactly why Quake 4 sucks monkey ass. How do you go from... the, you know,
shining gold.
God, to the lump of shit.
Yeah. And so something, I think the DS just doesn't quite have the horsepower behind the hood.
That's what
to really handle what Burnout is.
Right, I think so too, because it's actually sweet on the PSP. I'll let you check it out here if you want to see, just so you can go, fuck me, you know, it does work on a portable. I actually did have three. My number one crap pick was, of course, Quake 4. My number two pick was Gun for the PC. I heard so much good shit about this game and wanted to rip my eyeballs out while I tried to play this game. It was unbelievably bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was terrible. And my third pick, because I cannot see why anybody would play this game. I cannot see it. 007 From Russia with Love for the PS2. Oh my freaking Christ!
It got like honorable mention on that Spike TV show, didn't it?
Yeah. Gotta be kidding me. Game of the Year, the final category. This is what you waited 2 hours and 15 minutes for. Nominees: Dragon Quest VIII, Castlevania: Dawn of Sorrow, First Encounter: Assault Recon, City of Villains, Live for Speed S2, Resident Evil 4, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, Gearhead Arena, Battlefield 2 Retail, Fable the Lost Chapters, God of War, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Half-Life 2, EverQuest 2, Katamari Damacy, Mario Kart DS, Champions Return to Arms, I don't know how the fuck that got, that wasn't me, Wipeout Pure, Call of Duty 2, Shadow of the Colossus, and World of Warcraft. Now, let's see what Kushmeister has to say. Best Game of the Year, God of War. So many reasons why this wins Game of the Year. Great graphics and sound, especially for a PS2 game. Fluid character motion, sharp controls, little to no load times, added in minigames and finishing moves, awesome combos, oh, and not to mention intense gore, a sex minigame, and full frontal nudity, and it never even showed up on terrorist Jackie Thompson's radar. Holy shit. Kids, do yourself a favor and show Mom and Dad this great game. That's pretty amazing. Now, Cushion's vote goes to God of War. But it's not the listener's choice. Mm-mm. In fact, it's not even close.
He was the only one that voted for it.
Yeah. The mentionables, though, was Dragon Quest VIII. That's a fantastic game. It just blew the doors off of our RPG category. Castlevania: Dawn of Sorrow. Adventure game of the year. Mm-hmm. Mario Kart DS. Racing game of the year. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Never has a game just made so much publicity. And somebody's wallet's so fat. World of Warcraft. Did not make the cut. Not by a long shot. Champions Return to Arms, I don't think so. I had fun, but far from the most fun I had all year. The top three. The number three game was Shadow of the Colossus, IGN's 9.9 best game ever! Number two, First Encounter: Assault Recon. And the number one game of the year, which probably deserves it more than anything else on this list, Resident Evil 4.
Ta-da!
You waited all that for that. Now, I actually had to go ahead and give it to Fear. First Encounter: Assault Recon blew my freaking mind. I haven't had that much fun alone in a long time. Okay, I think I was about 17, 18. I discovered I had a lot more porno mags laying around the house than I thought I had. That was a great day. Okay, full bottle of fucking Jergens. I was ready to go. Fear was just a fantastic game. Game of the year, as far as I'm concerned. Listeners, Resident Evil 4. Kobar says...
I actually didn't pick one. Because of the games that I picked as the best throughout the categories, I really couldn't decide on one that really punched through all the rest. I couldn't say that I thought that a Mario Kart DS was any better.
What
than...
about Castlevania? I thought that was a shoo-in for your vote, though.
A really awesome game and deserves the head spot where I got it, but I don't know if it punches through way above the rest of
right.
the ones that I really liked.
Right, right.
Like,
okay.
I have that group, and none of them really shined out over the rest of them to me.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Now, we're going to end this with the quotes, because we had some pretty good ones over the Game of the Year. So, no. We had one with the bonus category, which didn't take off, but I thought it was fucking hilarious. Okay, Mocker, Castlevania... Oh, no, I read that one. Bankrupt, Fear. Yeah, an FPS game is the best game I've played this year. Hey, it was a slow year. But seriously, this game is great. I played most of this game during the Thanksgiving break. Since I did not go home, I was the only person on my floor. Whoa, that's some creepy shit. Which made this game even more fun and scary. Playing this game was like shooting up adrenaline. Like I said before, it brought back the fear I once had from the Doom 1 and 2 days, but it left behind the wedding myself, but it left behind the wedding myself part. I played Doom 3, and it's a flashlight simulator compared to Fear. If you've not played Fear, then kill yourself, you useless piece of fecal matter. Then we had Robo Christian with Resident Evil 4. I could go on forever about all the greatness of this title, but when it comes down to it, even though this was decided back in January when it was first released on the Cube, I went out and bought the PS2 version as well, simply to support Capcom for having made such a fantastic and immersive title. Zombie 5, Resident Evil 4. This game is my pick for the decade. Truly one of the best games of all time. If you haven't played this yet, listening, and go pick it up now. I promise you won't be sorry. Zombie had, I believe that was him telling me, he had three different people at his house on separate occasions watch him play that at his house, leave his house to go to the store to buy a GameCube and Resident Evil 4. Okay? This is the fucking game of the year. Rivo, Resident Evil 4, this game is like playing a horror movie. It's thick with atmosphere, has excellent gameplay, and has some of the best graphics on any console ever. Okay, so the story's a little hokey. The president's daughter's been kidnapped by zombies. Are you a bad enough dude to rescue her? But who cares? It's fun to play. And I can't pronounce this guy's name. It must be Kidukfu, K-I-D-U-K-F-O. This game is so good, I don't know how it does it.
I imagine it's Kidukfu.
Kidukfu, it's gotta be. I have no idea. That's just how I remember how to spell it. Now, that was it. Fucking gotta get my hands on some Resident Evil now that we know. We know what to play. We've got the list right here, and somehow I don't fucking play any of the good games this year. Now, the bonus category we kind of had just for fun was the best IRC quotes, and there was some great ones. Mocker even went so far as to get logs from almost a damn year ago to go through it and just to find the funny stuff that's gone on IRC. And Hades actually voted for this little whole scenario that we had with a guy named Fighter17. He hopped in the channel, we started screwing with him. We all changed our names to, like, Thief4 and, like, Sorcerer27 and all this stuff. And then we pretended that we were, like, role-playing and gonna go out and, like, slay dragons and stuff.
We'd go LFG and try to get him to join the group. And the best thing is, he didn't know what the hell we were talking about.
It was so funny, and I laughed my goddamn ass off back here. It was just, you know, we were just messing around because of his handle, and it just became this great joke. And, I mean, it was a good time was had by all. Mocker went so far back to find me saying, girls equal the lose. And Rybo pulled a quote.
Oh, here we go.
This is the best. This has got to be the number one quote right here. This has got to be the winner. Okay. Rybo found this one as the funniest one. He's got Kobar saying, I'm going to be late. I don't know, were you on your way to work or something?
On my way to work, I think.
Right, and then, so all he types is, like, I gotta go to work. Next line, which is where Rybo cuts the quote. Kobar says, I'm going to be late. Modem says, I made your mom late. Because all he really does is pop in with mom jokes every now and again. That was perfect.
And that quote
right, the
too.
Quote that belongs to this. Rybo that says, the seven-hit combo of a mom joke, your mom is a slut joke, I fucked your mom joke, menstrual cycle joke, who's your daddy joke, unprovoked left field joke, you had to be there joke, all in one sentence equals comedy gold. And my quote of the year from IRC comes from Oberon. And, in fact, I think I topicked that one for a while because it was so funny.
Yeah, it was.
He said, World of Warcraft is a collection of human fuckwittery, which I have so far in my 43 levels discovered to be absolutely true.
And I don't keep logs, and so I can't remember.
So much funny shit happens in there every day, though.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Contributors to this episode, us two, of course, Hades, Rybo, Cushion, Zombie 5, Mocker, Seal, Lords, the guy's name I can't pronounce.
Tittentai, I think.
Okay. Big Boy 2008, Robo Christian, John K, Flame Cuber, Memnon, Kudukfu, Castardo, Scyther, Sega Ages, Zayfan, Lentium, WS Ninja, Red Troll, Fujikoma X, Bankrupt, Ozum, Air, Ard, Quack, Yenda, Vexodus, Caffeined, Deirana, and Uncle Toxie. That wasn't in any kind of order. That was actually just kind of like however it came out. Thank you all. That was everybody who kind of contributed to this in one way or another, all their lists and everything. My head hurts from talking 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's been a long time since we've done this, and I'm a little rusty and out of practice, but hopefully we shouldn't be missing any more episodes particularly like we have been, you know?
Yeah, at least not in large numbers.
Yeah, not like 2-3 at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on what's going on, everything. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I've been really sick, like ill and not like cold and flu sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something wrong sick. So that's, yeah, bad stuff, but hopefully we're okay. And things are working out, and I guess we'll see you in a week. Peace out.
Later.
And play some of those good games. like, because we know what they are. We have the list. We should all be playing Mario Kart, Castlevania, Dragon Quest VIII, Fear. That's a good start.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus, God of War,
mm-hmm.
And one more. I don't know. Even World of Warcraft.
There you go.
I mean, there's good games to be played, and all I do is play crap and bitch about it. That is not okay, because I know it's supposed to be fun.